All right, Steve, thanks so much. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's Friday, and thanks for being here. Should be a good show today. A lot of great stuff on today's show.
Including Bobcat Goldthwait, who's in the green room, and I'm very excited to talk to him again.
You and I interviewed him 20-some-odd years ago. He was performing here in town for something.
I'm sure he remembers it.
I know he'll remember it. I know that of the thousands of interviews he's done over the years, I'm sure that's the one that he probably looks back on and says, that's the way an interview should go. So he decided 20-some-odd years later, I'll come back and finish the interview. And we can't wait.
We do that a lot with guests. There was someone else we had on like 16 years earlier.
Yeah.
And we should have them on more frequently, don't you think?
No, I think once every 16 years is good. You don't want to overstay your welcome. You know, I think that's fine. I do. I don't know who's in the PR department over at Easter. This is Good Friday, but this is really the it's the most poorly named of all the special days, isn't it? Because good is just as mild as could be. Why didn't they go bigger? Why didn't they go Great Friday, Fantastic Friday? Grand Friday.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Amazing Friday. Good Friday is just like, yeah, that's good. It's okay.
Translated for all the Catholics out there, it means the last Friday we have to abstain from eating meat on Fridays.
And you've not cheated this year at all,
no.
Correct? You've not even one time.
No. And
because you have, I guess we can talk about this, you're addicted to beef jerky. You have a beef jerky addiction.
I do like a good beef jerky. And my son Michael just came home from Ireland yesterday. I was very excited. He had a great time. Mm-hmm. And he felt really guilty because on the first Friday he arrived there, it was a traditional Irish breakfast with blood sausage. And I said, did you have any of that? And he said, yes. I said, was it good? He said, not really, but it was better than the name implied.
Yeah, most foods with blood in the title... It's a turnoff a lot of times.
Just call it sausage. I mean, right. There's stuff in sausage you don't want to know about right. Anyway. Do you say, do you want some blood lasagna? No, just have lasagna.
They call it black pudding also, which I don't think is much
better.
Yes.
Yeah, black pudding. They're like little hockey pucks in some places.
But black pudding, it sounds mysterious.
Right. And
right?
It's pudding.
Right.
People
but
love
once you
pudding.
Hear blood in it.
Except the women who used to be with Bill Cosby. They don't like pudding anymore. So that was the one day Michael had meat and he felt really guilty. And I said, listen, you are out of the country.
Yeah.
You didn't do it intentionally. You didn't say, oh, it's Friday. I'm going to have the blood pudding or whatever it is. What is it called?
Blood sausage.
Oh, blood pudding.
You can call it that too.
Doesn't sound good either.
Yeah, let's leave blood out of all. Even blood oranges, which I've had and have little to no blood in them. Let's just leave blood out of the title of any food from here on in.
Unless you're Vlad the Impaler.
Right.
Then,
that's who they're appealing to.
That's today's special.
What lunch meat could we have that Vlad the Impaler would enjoy? Let's go with the blood sausage and then some blood pudding and blood oranges.
Oh, that's too much.
Leave blood out.
I was good. I did not have meat any Friday during Lent. And
this is a ticket to heaven.
It isn't really.
Yes,
I know,
is.
But you do
you're
what makes you feel good. And I told Michael it was fine that he had meat. He was in Ireland. He was doing what the locals do. God will forgive you. I said, if it bothers you that much, pick another day and don't eat meat.
Observe it on that day.
Except it's pretty much over today.
Yeah, now it is.
But can I just tell you, a 16-year-old kid returns from Ireland, first trip abroad.
I didn't know that about him.
Wow, that stopped it all right there.
Wendy was saying my son was abroad for a week, and I'm like, I don't want to ask any questions.
It's okay.
Whatever.
Now it's the 21st century.
Whatever, yeah.
First
it's a new
of
world.
All, if
we
he
live
was
in a new world.
Abroad, he wouldn't be calling himself abroad.
I thought he lived in the 1940s. No. I always forget.
but I just have to tell you that he brought back souvenirs for all of us.
Yeah.
I can't believe he did this on his own.
What
Steve,
did he get you?
You told me that he would return a different man, and or boy, young man, whatever, and he did.
Yeah. From what you just told us.
Shut
go
up.
Ahead. Go ahead.
He got, I guess the last scene of the new Star Wars movie was filmed in Ireland.
It was?
So he got, yes.
Oh, right. I know. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah,
from
I know. That's why
it,
I said
but
it
you're
like
right.
That.
Yeah.
So he found the Star Wars shirt for Jimmy Mack, and got it for him.
Nice. That's a good gift.
And got him a Guinness refrigerator magnet, which was also perfect for Jim.
Yeah.
For Dylan, who's 13, he got a slide whistle because that's popular in Ireland, and Michael got himself one too. And
because Dylan's always doing clown-like things, and there's never been a noise to accompany it. So now he'll have a noise when he trips over a feather.
But wait, it gets better. Yeah. Zach Galifianakis is going to want to borrow that from him right. for baskets.
Right.
Oh, that's so perfect. But he also brought his little brother. Dylan loves ghost stories and scary things.
Yeah.
So it's a book, Irish Ghost Stories.
Oh, that's a great gift.
Totally awesome.
A very nice
and
gift.
And then, yes, Steve?
Well, I was going to say, what did he think of the country?
He loved it, but yeah. I was going to get to my souvenir. But
oh, I'm
know.
Sorry. What
Save
was your
the best
souvenir?
For last.
Yes, I did, because, again, this is a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He brought me this Connemara marble. Steve, are you familiar with it?
Sure, yeah. Connemara?
It's only found in one West End portion of Ireland.
They call it Connemara.
Connemara.
One Connemara.
Nah, 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 nah.
He
nah,
got
nah,
me
nah,
one
nah.
Connemara. He did. Look at this necklace he bought.
That's a good looking necklace.
It's marble, yeah. And it's this marble was around made of limestone, and it was there when the dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Wow.
I mean, it's that old, and that's what it's known for. And yeah. I'm like, you picked this out? And then I'm thinking, how many of the 16-year-old boys each bought their mom one of these little pendants?
I don't think all of them did.
It's pretty awesome.
It's great.
And on top of that, he bought for me a little cross, a Celtic cross
yeah.
that I put up on the windowsill right away, and it's made out of peat, not P-E-T-E, but P-E-A-T.
His friend from class?
From the bogs. Do you know anything about this, Steve?
The bogs, yeah. And oh, yeah, the bog people and everything. You know about the bog people?
I don't know. Is that in the ghost story book?
Well, because of the makeup of it and the humidity and everything, they find people who are 1,000 bodies that have been there for 1,000 years or so.
Really?
Perfectly maintained.
Wow. That would have been a better souvenir.
Yeah, why didn't he bring me a body? This is just a
customs.
Celtic cross.
I think it's customs,
yeah.
Yeah,
customs.
But I guess it hardens and they cut...
The peat,
carve.
That's a peat fire, right? You've heard of that?
No.
You've never heard of a peat fire?
Bill, have you?
No? I've not heard of that.
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
that,
it's the way they... That's
gather
the way
around,
they,
fellow boosters.
Well, it's the bogs and it's really cool the way they do it. They cut these little bricks... They stack them out there. They let them dry over the summer, and then in the winter bring them over to the house. And that's how a lot of, for hundreds of years, and still some many do, still burn in a stove to heat their homes.
That's what this cross is carved out of, yeah. And it's beautiful.
He did well for you guys.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
He shops better for us than other people I know that shall remain nameless. Huh. I'm not a good gift receiver. That? You know that.
No, but in this case...
I put the necklace on right away, and yeah. I'm very proud of him.
Some people want to talk about blood food to us.
Why?
Because it sounds so delicious.
I want to eat your blood, Dennis. Your blood sausage. That sounds very bad.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. What do you know about this, Dennis?
Well, my grandparents came from Poland. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid growing up on the far south side of Chicago, we would go to the... They actually had stores where they had live poultry, chickens, ducks. And my grandmother would let me choose the duck, and we'd go shopping. And in the morning, we should choose the duck. The butcher would take it, and Dad would come back later on going to Goldblatt's. And later in the afternoon, come back, and the duck would be prepared. And he'd give my grandmother a cup of the duck's blood, and they would make blood soup. It was called chinina. And then they also made, well, they didn't make it, but they would buy at the same time at the Polish store. It was blood sausage, and that was called kiszka.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
There's a folk song called Who Stole the Kiszka that I've heard
By Bobby Vinton.
I don't think it's by
Niska Luka,
that's My Melody of Love. That's a different song.
Yeah, usually that Who Stole the Kiszka is, I remember as a kid at all the Polish
weddings.
Right,
they always played it at weddings.
The polka. Right, yeah. Right. But now that I know really, you know, when you're a kid, you eat anything, right? Because I remember my grandmother was baking. No.
I think kids are more picky.
Yeah. Well, back then, I guess we just, you know, what was in front of us, we ate. You know, I'm in my mid-60s now. My grandmother would also make what they call kuski noodles, homemade noodles. And this
What's
was usually
that?
Around the holiday. It was just noodles, homemade noodles, and she would make it like when she made chicken soup and also when she made the duck soup, the chinina. But the chinina, they would put prunes in there, apples. I guess maybe it was actually helpful with all that stuff in there, but I won't eat it today.
Wow, prunes and blood in one food. I'm in.
You can't ask for more.
Yeah.
That sounds so good, Dennis.
Thank you,
Send
Dennis.
Send us the recipe. Well,
take care and happy Easter.
Thanks,
I
Dennis.
Will.
You too.
You as well.
I'm putting out a book. Is this the song? Is this Who Stole the Kiszka? Is that what that is?
No, this is the Blood Barrel Polka. Wow. All right, well, enjoy your breakfasts, people. Blood doesn't count as meat, does it?
I don't think it does. Listen to this. This is Maroon 5?
It is?
It is not.
It was early Maroon 5. Right.
Kesha should cover this song. Kesha's Kiska.
Kesha's Kiska. I love the man or woman who just woke up and turned on WGN and went, oh, they went polka. I knew that was going to happen eventually.
They went
all
back.
Polka all the time.
Right.
We'll polka you.
In the eye. All right. A big show coming. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Your story about eating meat and doing your best to avoid it during Lent on Fridays reminded me of when I was a kid, when we would take a vacation in the summer. If we were gone on a Sunday, and more times than not we were, you know, we'd usually take a week and sometimes two. If we were gone on a Sunday, my mom would scramble on a Sunday morning to find a church in whatever city we were in. We would all get in the car. We'd get up extra early, and then we would head out to find a church. And then she told our priest that at St. Damien that's become rough in some places. She can't find a Catholic church. And he said, and I quote, "You're on vacation. Don't worry about church." And that changed our lives forever. I've never wanted to hug anybody more than at that moment.
You know, because typically, you know, if you were away and a lot of times Easter coincided with the spring break.
Yeah.
So I remember going to church on Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think just a regular summer vacation we've tried to find a
church. Oh, you didn't?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
There were times, you know, we'd be like in Florida, we'd be, you know, in an area that they just didn't have Catholic churches.
Yeah.
And we'd drive and we'd drive and we'd drive. We'd end up at a water slide eventually.
With a cross on top?
Holy water
getting
slide.
Getting christened?
Yes.
There's your baptism.
Yes.
Yeah. So you went to church with your mom who was Catholic, but
yeah.
Then did your dad go to temple?
No, he did not attend services.
And he didn't go to Catholic mass with you guys either?
No.
So it was just mom and the boys?
Yeah, pretty much. And then if we'd vacation with other people, they would also be dragged along, and they'd also explain to my mom, I don't think, we've been driving for 45 minutes. I don't think we're going to find a church. I think it's time to head back and have a vacation.
It's a good thing your dad didn't go to temple, because would you, as kids of both Catholic and Jewish faith, would you have had to go to two masses?
Saturday night. Temple is on Saturday night, so we would have had to have done that on Saturday and then church on Sunday, and that makes for a full weekend.
Yeah, but that is your weekend.
I know.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was generally church if we could find it, and until we got a dispensation from the priest, and then we didn't have to go anymore. Yay.
I know, but I'm telling you, being a Catholic, when a priest tells you it's okay, because I accidentally had chorizo one of the Fridays, and I found it at the cafeteria, and then Kevin, our producer, was so awesome. He took the chorizo off my styrofoam plate.
Took one for the team for you, yep.
But I think there was a little chorizo juice.
Oh.
But I brought that up to the Catholic priest, and he said, you tried.
Yeah.
Meat juice is okay, I think.
I don't think it is, Kevin. I don't think it is. On Judgment Day, when they pull out your file and they go, oh, no, look at chorizo juice. This isn't good. You'll remember that.
It's a great band name, too.
It is. All right, here's what's coming up in just a little bit. Steve will give you the news. And then after the news, Bobcat Goldthwait, one of the finest comedians and filmmakers anywhere. It's been a long time since we've talked to him. We're anxious to catch up. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bob Goldthwait is here, Wendy, one of the most innovative comedians of our generation. Certainly, he's a director, an actor, a writer. As you pointed out, he looks good. You smell good, too,
I
Bob.
Smell a little minty fresh. Every 20 years I come here, you know? You can't keep me around. Every 20 years.
Can I tell you, I already told this to Wendy. I made you laugh about 22 years ago. We were interviewing you for a movie.
And look, he still thinks about it. 22 years ago.
It meant
ago.
A lot to me to make you laugh.
Here's what it was.
You were talking about some shows you had coming up that weekend, and you said, but really, I've already sold out. And I said, some people said that about you when you made Hot to Trot. And you laughed so hard, and I went, this is a good day.
Still made me laugh. Still holds true. And I won't fight that. You know, I had the career most people have at the end of their career, at the beginning, so where I did sell out. I often say I retired from acting the same time they stopped hiring me, but that's really not true. I choose, believe it or not to be in front of the camera. It sounds very crazy in America, but yeah.
And how long have you been doing stand-up? Because I can't... It's been so long.
I started
long.
Doing stand-up when I was 15. Jeez. And then I got on Letterman when I was 20. And now I'm 53.
Look at that.
But
I can't do
just,
the math.
You know, it's... There's a connection that you make with a live audience that I ran out of money. That's why I do it. No, you know, I shouldn't say that. I said that joke. You were just talking about Wikipedia. I said that joke once, and then it became in my bio. It's like,
was there a GoFundMe page to
sure.
get you money?
Yeah,
and
like
stuff?
People were like going, you know, the comedian discussed going broke. It's like. Cheese and crackers, and I don't usually curse, but that really frosts my
But the
my
gall
case.
It takes for a 15-year-old to go up on stage, I mean, it's
the
hard for anybody.
The gall or the mental illness, or but there's a lot of comedians. I started when I was 15, but like Chappelle started that young, and Eddie Murphy did too. So, yeah, I guess, but it's weird because I became a comedian that young, but I had no... other skills, like life skills
right.
and stuff. You know, I missed that part where people go to college and screw up and then become... I screwed up. But when most people were in college, I was making Police Academy.
Right.
Right. If I would have certainly worked harder on those movies if I knew I was going to be talking about them for the rest of my life. Actually, I just did the local news, and they show a clip of Police Academy before they interview me, and I was like... You know, I was thinking about Gary Shandling, and I was like, wow, when I die, that's what they're going to show.
They will show that, won't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. But later on, Goldthwait cured AIDS and invented cold fusion in a sink, but you know him as the wacky cadet from Police Academy. So,
no Shakes the Clown they're showing?
Shakes the Clown? No. It's funny, you know. I have a soft spot for Shakes. I like Shakes, but sometimes I'll be doing, you know, like Taint and Teabag in the morning or whatever, you know, some wacky morning guys.
A fine morning team, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, Taint and Teabag. You know, they'll go, I don't know, what's the deal with Shakes the Clown? I'm like, well, I like it, but...
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of misconceptions about that movie that I financed it and all this kind of stuff, But you know what? Worrying about how people perceive me or worry about what's the truth that's out there, I don't have that kind of time.
No,
and
sure.
I would drive myself mental.
Sure. You brought up Gary Shandling, and at some point we were going to ask anyway. Over the years, I'm guessing you bumped into him more than once.
Yeah,
huh?
You know, the last time I saw him, he actually showed up. I did a documentary called Call Me Lucky, and I didn't invite him or anything. I mean, of course, he was welcome, but he mm-hmm. just showed up at a screening, and I didn't know this. Someone showed me that on Twitter he had... told people that it was an important movie and
oh,
you should
nice.
Go watch and all that stuff. But that would, you know, I what I love about Gary, you know, Gary was a guy who, as a young man, got the brass ring. When he was in his 20s, he was writing on Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
So he got everything people thought. Like, he you're supposed to be happy when you get money. And you know, he figured out how television worked, realized that it's not going to fill any holes in you, and then he decided to blow it up, blow up show business, you know. Gary was interested in the much bigger questions in life, you know. He could have hosted talk shows, and he turned them all down.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just I think I don't even think people understand how smart he was.
He was just on a podcast with Jerry Seinfeld, the Cars.
Oh, yeah. The
I don't know what it's called.
Comics and Cars.
Yeah, Comedians and Cars or something.
Coffee or something? I don't know, yeah.
And he was talking about Robin Williams' death a lot, and he was talking about his own obituary and stuff. When
right.
he was. So you can watch that. Mm. But I hadn't seen him or heard from him in a while, and it was just shocking news to find out yesterday.
I think he was looking for you know, I think fulfillment meant more to him than fame and stuff. So he did things on his own terms. He was very sweet, but also intense. You know, it wasn't like a guy who you know. Let's just say he wouldn't have ended up being one of the Colonel Sanders.
He'd be the one guy in comedy that would say no to KFC.
Say no. No, I would say no, too.
He'd just come out with no costume on.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. I turned down a lot of stuff, and I don't often talk about that, but I turned down a lot of acting. Not a lot, but a lot of roles that I think most people would have done.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've turned down Breaking Bad. I turned down...
Did you? Yeah.
30 Rock. I turned down... Yeah.
Why
yeah,
would you turn down Breaking
and
Bad?
And what would they have you have done?
Oh, it was supposed to play... I don't know what the role was. I think it was something they were coming up with. But it was a, it had an arc and everything. Because I truly love making movies. Yeah. I love writing and directing. So why am I going to stop that to go be in something that I don't find fulfilling and then have strangers interrupt me while I eat? And talk to me about something that I, my heart wasn't into.
Sure.
I know that sounds terrible.
No, but it's truthful.
But it's, I was with a, I had a girlfriend and she was an actress and we were in Edinburgh and that was when I told her that I turned on Breaking Bad and there was this table next to us and they were having this big animated conversation about it. And she goes, well, why would you do that? I go, because we wouldn't have been able to finish this meal.
It's true. It's very true.
I often don't discuss that, but I'm tired and I have I'm exhausted, so it's truth serum. So you can ask me anything right
you
now. Want.
And it's not like you need the money.
Well, yeah, no, I could. I mean, I'm 53 and I have roommates. It's all coming together this year. But I choose to live like that so I can work on things that I'm proud of instead of things that I cringe when they're on. And I still do. I mean, I'll do things if it's like, you know, like Robin was a very good friend of mine, and I was strapped with back taxes, and he did a Snickers commercial, and part of the caveat was that he told them they had to hire me.
Oh,
and so he calls me up and he goes, you know, you're gonna have to do the voice. They're gonna make you do the voice. And, you know, meaning the character.
Sure. Right?
And he knew how much I didn't enjoy it. And I was just like, for the amount of money Snickers is paying me, I will, I will F a Snickers bar. I cleaned it up for you. But,
thank you. It's so satisfying, I hear.
And by the way, it is satisfying.
So satisfying.
It is. It keeps you going. It turns out it's a great candy bar. I should say that. Cause I had to sign a thing with the Mars Corporation that I would never say anything bad about
ever,
their candy bar.
Ever.
But yeah, so then he came into my dressing room and I was suspended during the commercial on cable, so I had to wear this unitard underneath my clothes so it didn't the harness didn't scratch off my nipples and stuff. And so he rapped early and he comes in and he goes, and so the next day he calls me, he goes, why did they have you in a fat suit? And I was like, no, dude. That was just a unitard. That was
right,
me,
that's you.
It wasn't Spanx.
He had a bet going. Yeah, or Manx. He had a bet going with his assistant that I was wearing a fat suit. He's like, well, Rebecca, you're right. It wasn't a fat suit.
Speaking of the voice.
Yeah, where is the voice?
Well, can I share something that you told me years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I opened for you at the Carefree Theater in West Palm Beach about 22 years ago.
Sure,
it was a guy named Tony V.
Oh, yeah, Tony.
Right?
Tony and I have.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said to me, we were talking about the character, the voice, and you said, watch what I do. I'll go out and I'll do the voice for the first 3 or 4 minutes, and at the end of the show, I'll do it for 3 or 4 minutes, and the audience will think that I've done the voice
they
for
the
entire
whole time,
show.
Probably, yeah.
And you were right.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, and I used to feel this obligation because I knew folks were there to see that and would feel that I got ripped. They got ripped off, but eventually it was just like I'm bored. I don't want to perpetuate this persona that I'm not interested in doing. You know?
Yeah.
So, sometimes I think it might sound bitter when I run into someone who has such fond memories of that.
Yeah.
But I just gotta make myself happy. It's funny that, as you get older, I used to hate young people. Now I love young people. I like millennials because they only know me from the movies I make and they don't, there's not all this baggage. But, and then people my own age, I just want to scream, you know. I don't know why, you know. They just don't know. They I'm always traveling, so it's like, oh, how do I poop? Like, they can't get on a plane, you know. Or,
ask you that, Bob?
They don't ask me, but they're just so confused about the ticketing and getting in line.
Okay.
And
well, you do it regularly. I'm not a really good traveler.
Right, but I still, I don't know. I get so, I guess I should be more patient, but.
Well, would they ask you? Just strangers
No, they're just confused
you?
By the whole system of just getting on a plane. And then I was on a plane, and there was these age-appropriate women that, you know, in their 50s and 60s, and they were giving me the big eye. And I was like, where were you in the 80s? You know, they were like, I guess because I have two healthy hips. I'm a,
you're catch.
That's a turn on.
I'm a piece now.
Yes, you are.
Like I could pull so much steel wool right now, apparently.
Bob Goldthwait is here. He can pull so much steel wool, you won't believe it. Come and see him at the Comedy Shrine tonight and tomorrow, an 8 o'clock show tonight, an 8 and 10 tomorrow. ComedyShrine.com has your ticket information. We'll come back more with Bob Goldthwait next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder. Bobcat Goldthwait is here, comedian, director, actor, writer, and a whole lot more. He's appearing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora tonight and tomorrow, 8 o'clock tonight, 8 and 10 tomorrow. ComedyShrine.com has all your ticket information.
I think that, I don't know about a whole lot more. I think
that's about it
in a nutshell. I don't have any ballroom dancing or anything else up my sleeve.
You're not going to do the Dancing with the Stars ever?
No, believe it or not, I don't want to be on a reality show. That's the part of why I love doing stand-up. I enjoy doing stand-up, but it also affords me to not do
that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was trying to clean up what I was going to say, but to do those kind of shows. Yeah,
it's fun to watch you self-edit. It really
is. It's hard. It's really hard. It's always funny when I do the local TV because it wasn't bad this morning, but it'll start with a clip from Police Academy, and they're hoping that I'll be funny, and then they'll go, "And you were Robin Williams' best friend," and then they'll. And so where am I going to go, you know? And then it ends with, tell us about the new movie, and they don't know anything about it. And then when I describe it's about child abuse, and then they go, all right, it's Adopt a Dog Day here on, you know, right. It's just...
Switch gears quickly.
And it's always funny to me because I'm the weirdo. It is like, you guys are hopped up out of your minds at 7 a.m.
Right. But you're unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, then off the air, they're like, oh, I hate Karen. You know what I mean? But or whoever their co-host is.
Right. Hey, are you watching the OJ TV show?
No.
You got to see John Travolta doing Robert Shapiro.
I've seen clips of that.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm obsessed with it.
How is it? Is it ridiculous?
Over the top that it sucks you in. It's like an accident. You want to keep watching it.
So it's like a Lifetime movie?
Yeah.
On crack.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They have that episode.
A special episode,
Lifetime,
yes.
No, Lifetime.
Yeah.
Marky Post chasing the dragon.
Right.
She's a mom smoking heroin.
Yep.
I went down a bad, bad Lifetime rabbit hole.
Did you?
When I had back surgery.
Yeah. Got to see a lot of their work.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
It's Joyce not just Spelling. For women, you know.
Oh, no, it's not.
Women and people who've had back surgery.
Back surgery, yeah. I remember my wife at the time, I was just sobbing watching, 15 and Pregnant, Kristen Dunst. And
yep, it gets sad
she
sometimes.
Just comes in and she goes, you don't get to take any more Dilaudid.
Sure. Bob, when you make a movie with subject matter that's, I can't even say dark, because you've made... Here's a good example. You made a movie a couple of years ago about a guy who was going to get married to a woman, and then he found out that a woman had a very interesting affair prior to... Okay.
It was a romantic comedy with a tiny bit of bestiality.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
But see, the thing is I think most comedies would have made that one of the comedy beats in the movie.
Without a doubt.
And I didn't. I went the other way. I was like, you know, are there things in a relationship you can't get past? Is honesty the best policy? You know, the movies I make, I tend to, they usually are about that gray area of life, like, you know, and then I follow that one where that one was being honest was not the right thing. And then after that, I did World's Greatest Dad, which the flip side of that was being honest at all costs and being set free.
Yeah.
But these are all... You know, sometimes when I hear myself speak, I want to vomit. You know, it's like, dude, you're the dude from Police Academy. You know, I love making movies. I write screenplays all the time, and I don't go out and I make a living so I can make movies. I don't make my living off of movies.
Sure. That's and the right way.
I'm noticing you're sometimes calling him Bob and sometimes Bobcat. Which do you prefer?
Well,
you...
on the movies, I always say Bobcat Goldthwait at the end. And a lot of my dearest friends call me that. So I don't think of it as like, I had this character, his name was Bobcat, and now I want to be taken serious. You know, I don't want to be...
You're not Robert Goldthwait.
Yeah, I'm not Richard Schroeder or Ricky Schroeder.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like, what are you going to do? Spend all your time correcting people? People are going to do what they do. You know?
Right.
And David Hasselhoff. He drops the hassle. He's just no Hoff more now. Hassle. You can't do that.
No.
He's just Hoff now.
He's just the Hoff.
David, yeah.
But is he legally the
Yeah,
the
he
Hoff?
Changed his name legally. And he's
It'll
on
legitimize
my,
him, you'll see.
My kid's high school wall. He's on the wall of fame in LaGrange at LT High School.
Did he graduate from there?
Yes.
And so is
and
it say
says
the Hoff?
Hasselhoff. They haven't changed that there. Right. I was gonna like cross it out with a Sharpie.
They didn't get CC'd. He's the Hoff.
Isn't that crazy?
The Hoff. So it's like Trump changing his
right.
name.
Right, same thing.
Yes.
Now here's the thread that I've noticed, and you brought up Gary Shandling, and I can throw in Robin Williams into this and Woody Allen and yourself. That neurosis plays a big part in almost all of your comedy, not just yours, but all the people I mentioned and many, many more.
That's a good question. Possibly. But I mean, this is how I'm seeing the world. So I can't, I couldn't write a movie about someone who's adjusted.
Right.
Wouldn't be that exciting.
Well, it's also, I know it's funny. People always, they know about my home life, and it's a house, and I have my friend Caitlin, who's performing with me this weekend at the Comedy Shrine. Her and her girlfriend live in the basement. My daughter lives in the guest house. My friend Mike, I think he lives there. We don't see Mike, but
Kato Kalin lives there.
Oh my God, that's so fun though.
And we have cats and dogs and people go, this should be a reality show, and it shouldn't. There's no conflict. It'd be like,
right.
Hey, thanks for buying me bagels. No, no problem. Let me give you some money. No, that's cool. It'd be the most boring.
No, that's better than half the reality shows that are on. You know that, right?
The love lives would be a lot because they eventually came up with a list of women that I was seeing that weren't allowed in the house.
Oh,
So that might be some fodder. But outside of that,
I'm in. If that show gets made, I'm watching that every week. I'm DVRing that.
But, I want to hang out there. It sounds like
fun.
A blast.
I think it is. You know, you only hear about people complaining about roommates when it doesn't work.
Right.
But you know, now someone takes care of Anderson Cooper and Alice Cooper when I'm on the road. Those are my cats, I should say.
I wondered, cats or dogs?
Cooper, P-U-R-R. So, he's a silver fox. So, I guess it must be fun because I've noticed that there's more people there when I come home now.
Oh.
Like there'll be a bunch of comics and stuff sitting
That's
around
success.
Watching RuPaul's Drag Race at 3 p.m.
You've achieved one of my goals. I always wanted to be the go-to house that everybody wants to hang out at and no one comes over.
And you know what? When I was a kid, that was our house, and it's taken me all these years to get back to that.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. It's kind of like, the house with the chill parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's your place?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Great seeing you again. Continued success in everything.
Thank you. Hopefully it won't be 20 years. The next
I hope
time.
Not. That would
Maybe
be crazy.
Maybe 7 years every time Spock gets laid.
Let's make a date of it based on that. Bobcat Goldthwait at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora tonight and tomorrow, 8 o'clock tonight, 8 and 10 tomorrow. ComedyShrine.com has all your ticket information. Thank you, Bob. We appreciate it. Bobcat Goldthwait. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are very different people, Bill Left, you and I.
Because
I'm
why?
Wendy Snyder.
Why do you
because
say that?
Because Kurt Wagner's here, and you guys are talking movies and TVs and shows
right.
and stuff, and I just want to know how many inches his laptop computer is, because when I obsess about something, I have to get a new laptop. How can you not know if it's 11 or 13 inches?
I don't remember. I bought it like 2 years ago. I got it like 2 years ago.
Right.
It's this big, Wendy.
And
when you watch, I know you get screeners for television shows. Do you watch them on a small screen like that, or do you watch them at home on a bigger screen?
I try to watch them on my TV, yeah.
It's better that way.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. I think so.
Get the detail.
I watched the whole. I binge watched Making a Murderer on my iPad, and it was nice to just get away from everybody and watch that, so I could really focus on it.
Yeah.
I think it depends what you're watching, doesn't
it? Well, I think it depends on what you're watching. If it's a big cinematic thing, you should certainly want to watch it on your television. I mean, I have watched stuff on my computer before. But
kids watch. Don't you see your daughters watching movies on
their
iPhones?
Phone, I mean, all the time.
Yeah, and I even had the big, you know, the bigger iPhone and. I'm just like that.
How many inches is that? Do you know how many inches that is? That's the 6 plus.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you not know what your computer is?
But I don't know how. Is that 6 inches? Is that what that means?
No.
I don't think so.
Forget it.
You should always have a tape measure on your Kurt at all times, 24 hours a day.
Kevin typically has a knife on him, although he has
You can borrow that if you. I don't know how that would help.
No, but I said.
How long is your knife, Kevin?
Four inches?
But I can't believe I asked him if he had a tape measure. Who carries around a tape measure?
Carpenters.
Right. I used to have a pica pole in my desk.
That's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. A couple of things to discuss with you. Thing number one, the last time we saw you. You were headed toward the big the convention that was in town last weekend, the C2E2 convention. This is all comic books and TV and movies and fantastic films and stuff like this. What did you think? Did you see anything that impressed you?
Well, we actually didn't end up going for very long. We found other things to do. But we were there on Saturday for a while. We went to a panel with some guys from Ryan Hurst and Tommy Flanagan from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And bought some stuff. My friend bought some stuff that she wanted to get some art prints and stuff like that.
That is the best place to go shopping if you're a fan of these shows and this genre.
Right.
Sure.
Who's binging? Is that your me? Unknown inch computer?
Yeah. It's off now. Sorry.
Wendy scolded you. That's how it feels.
Do you
like how it
feels?
I'm
hungry. I thought the fries were done.
But nothing earth-shattering.
No,
you didn't
nothing
see anything
earth-shattering.
That,
not really. We didn't stay. We didn't go Friday or Sunday. But
yeah,
it's
but,
still fun to go.
Yeah, it's
to
fun to
things.
Go because they. It's our C2E2 here is big on the cosplay, the people dressing up. So that's always fun to walk around and see people and how creative they get in their costumes.
Bill laughs at them.
We had a discussion. Wendy and I were discussing it because I say that's a weird sexual thing, that when the show is over, they go back to the hotel room.
Not in
and
everybody.
I can't even imagine
there
what goes on.
There are certain groups that do the cosplay.
Well, you know, they had signs all over the place that said, cosplay
does not mean consent.
Does not mean consent.
And does not mean Bill Cosby. Again, right. That could be used, cosplay. I said it wrong.
Right. So true.
Did Bill Cosby the butt of two jokes today?
Already. And the show's not even half over. You saw the new Pee Wee Herman movie, which is not in theaters, but it's a
Netflix
exclusive.
Last Friday, yeah.
All right, what did you think?
Pee Wee's Big Vacation, Big Holiday. Big Holiday, yeah.
Did you love it?
I think I peed my pants.
But you've done that a lot recently,
so
Kurt.
Funny.
That has nothing to do with how funny Pee Wee's Holiday was.
There was there are a couple of things in there that my friend Amory, who you met, was here from MyTakeOnTV.com.
Yeah.
She and I could not stop. We could not breathe. We were laughing so hard at a couple of the moments.
All right. So if that is the case, and I've not seen it yet, Wendy's not seen it yet. Why is this not in theaters? People couldn't wait for Pee Wee Herman to make another movie. Why did it go
was
to Netflix?
Was it just a Netflix?
I'm not sure if it. No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is in theaters.
It isn't.
Did Netflix pay him to do it? Is it?
I think it's a Netflix
original.
Yeah, it's a Netflix original. But you know, they crutching. Tiger, Hidden Dragon, that sequel to that, was in select theaters. That's why I was wondering if this was in select theaters. But maybe they just thought it wouldn't make a lot of money that way. I don't know. But it is so funny.
And Tim Burton did not direct this one. He did the first two, but he's not behind
this
one, right?
No. Okay. No. And Joe Manganiello.
Yeah.
But I always screw that name up. But in the movie, he's playing a version of himself. In the movie, he introduces himself to Pee-wee, and Pee-wee does the same. Hello, Joe. You know, I can't even say his name.
Pee-wee, you love him or you hate him. I love him.
Me too.
But there's a scene where he screams at something he's scared of, and
is
I swear
Large
to
Marge
God,
in it?
It's a solid minute of him screaming at this high-pitched voice. I have made it my ringtone on my phone.
Lucky people who are in an elevator with you.
Yeah. I almost wish I worked in an office now so I could just have somebody call me every 5 minutes.
Right.
But then there's also a thing he does with the balloon, which he's done. I think he's done the balloon gag before where he blows it up and makes the noises, like
plays
the balloon. Yeah. And that's another one that's like, I swear, a minute long, which in a movie is kind of a long time to do one gag. And it is so funny. I mean, that might actually be even longer. It might be 2 minutes because Amory tried to make that her ringtone and it was too long to make it a ringtone.
Does he fit in the suit okay?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to get a bigger suit?
Well,
he's still trim?
The makeup? It's pretty heavy. Like all the close-ups you look, you go, ah, boy.
There was a story that they had
to
use.
He's pretty smooth.
There's some sort of processing that they had to do to make him look a little bit younger because he, you know, he's up in his 50s now.
Up in his 50s. Hello. Well, you're up in your 50s.
I know, but I'm not playing
but
a character
he's not playing
that I
a
played
child,
from 25 or 30 years ago.
Child-like
Actually,
know,
I am now that I think about it.
Yeah, but don't say up in the 50s. That is just not right anymore.
But
I know we're older.
But that character
right.
is like locked in time, so all
right.
of a sudden.
Right.
It's
well, he
jarring.
And Joe become best friends. And
Joe is the guy, he's Sofia Vergara's boyfriend in real life, right?
Now
Isn't
husband,
that,
right? I
are
think
they
married
now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
How many of you people out
he
there
was in True Blood.
Are jealous?
He was in True Blood. He was the werewolf in True
oh,
Blood. Yeah,
that's who that is.
And
okay.
he's been in the Magic Mike movies. But they become best friends, and Pee-wee, on his trip to go to Joe's birthday party in New York, has these daydreams and dreams about the two of them at his birthday party.
Yeah.
And it's so funny and so ridiculous and sweet. And like, it's like a real good sort of friendship thing,
yeah.
too. Or, you know.
Or more.
Or romance.
Yeah, right.
Depending on how you look at it. But it's just, the whole movie is just so funny. It's great.
I waited, my son Michael was in Ireland, and I waited to watch it with him, because we have the DVD box set of all the Pee-wee's Playhouse and everything. Mm-hmm. So I got to watch that.
Yeah, it's cool.
It looks good. So it's on Netflix all this month.
Yeah.
And now here's something I've read in several reviews of it is they talk about how in this film, in Pee-wee's Holiday, he's never left this little town that he lives in. But in other movies, he's gone out on quests across the country and stuff. So there's some continuity errors. But you're not thinking about that while you're watching this, right?
I've seen those other movies and it didn't even go.
Didn't bother you?
Why do you ruin it for everyone? Yeah.
I'm just pointing it
you're
out.
A movie
snob. Pee-wee had a big week last week. Because he also starred in, he has a guest role in Gotham,
yeah.
that show on
He's
Fox.
He's the Penguin's father.
He's the Penguin's father, and so he looks like himself in that, like his actual self.
And you know that that's a role he played in one of the Tim Burton Batman movies. He was also Penguin's father.
No, I didn't remember that.
Yeah. When it was Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
He was?
Yeah, he
the
played
father?
The father in that,
That would
too.
Have been when he was young.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't in his up in his
he
50s.
He was down in his
knocking on
30s.
Death's door in his 50s like he is now. We'll take a quick break and then more with Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200 is our number. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN. We're talking television with Kurt Wagner. He has a great website, TVShowPatrol.com. It's right there on your internet. Check it out, TVShowPatrol.com. This wasn't on our list of topics, but I just remember seeing news of this on Wednesday. There's going to be a new MacGyver. Are you aware of any of this? Did you hear this?
Why?
I don't know why. It didn't say why.
It doesn't
in the story.
Surprise me. I mean, I don't think that I heard it. Have they cast anyone?
Yeah, they showed the guy. I've not heard of the guy who's going to play MacGyver. It's not Richard Dean Anderson.
Well.
Because if Pee Wee Herman is
and
in
boy,
his
is
50s,
he mad.
He's furious. He's
and
furious.
It's not
Will Forte. Who played him on Saturday Night Live, kind of, sort of. No, it's a much, 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 much younger guy.
Oh, yeah. Taylor says Taylor Swift's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know this guy?
I bet she wrote a song about him.
She, I guarantee you. She did, and Dave Matthews did for some weird reason. I don't know why he did, but he also did. So we need a new MacGyver, finally, Kurt. Our prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
Do they keep revisiting things like that? Like, remember they redid The Dukes of Hazzard, and Hutch? I mean, have they really run out of ideas?
Well, because for everyone that fails, it seems like one succeeds, you know, like
that's
Hawaii 5-0.
That's not a good track record. It's less than 1-to-1, I think.
For them, it's a known quantity. So if they bring back, like,
it's like
they did
when
with Full
it's
House,
like doing sequels and movies and stuff, you
right.
know, it's like they don't have to sell it.
Right.
It already has a thing going for it, you know, and Lucas Till, by the way, is going to play the new MacGyver.
That's
he was,
the guy.
He was in X-Men.
I don't
he
know
was
who
one
he
of the guys. He's
X-Men.
Havoc in X-Men.
Oh, right.
The guy
okay.
who shot the things out of his chest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the nostalgia stuff is just because they know that somebody's going to watch it. And it has some kind of appeal or some kind of fan base right away. That's why they always turn books into movies.
And it could reach two generations. It could reach the older generation who remembered it the first time around, and then younger kids who
right.
go, oh, wow, a guy who can make anything out of anything. That sounds like a good idea.
Right.
You know?
And they've done it a lot, and it's kind of hit or miss whether it works or not.
Sure.
I mean, I remember they redid that Talking Car show that David Hasselhoff was
Knight Rider.
In, and it didn't last a full season.
Right.
But, you know, they're always recycling
yep.
things.
So true.
And oh, and they did cast. They got all most of the original cast of Prison Break back. I noticed in the last 2 weeks they've announced right. the
Is this
casting
a second comeback? Didn't it go away and come
well,
back?
Well, they made a movie. I think they made a movie after the series was over. But Michael died in one of those, and so there's a miraculous reason that he's
I already read
come back to life.
There's a clever way, and actually the whole basis of the show is on the fact that everybody has moved on and accepted
right.
that, but then they realize, uh-oh, he might not be gone. So that's a clever premise.
Yeah. I mean, it might work. It could work. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was what the first season of Prison Break was incredibly dramatic and stirring, and then it got watered down when they just kept breaking out of prison after prison right, after prison. Right. After a while, you go, okay, I don't know.
And that's the case. A lot of times shows only need to be a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Or they get crazy.
Yep, yep. There was the premiere of a new Shonda Rhimes show yesterday. She is one of the busiest producers in all of television. This was the show The Catch.
Right.
Yeah, and what do we know about The Catch?
Well, it was... The first episode I just didn't like at all because there were so many things involved that seemed a little out of, you know, suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
It still didn't matter.
Yeah.
And too many coincidental things happening. The basis of the story is that there's this private investigator who's just the sharpest woman in the world and she's dating this guy and at her firm they're chasing this guy they're calling Mr. X.
Yeah.
And it turns out spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
Oh, give him a second.
I don't even think you have to say it. I think anybody listening goes, oh, okay.
Well, it's not really... I mean, the commercials kind of
right.
give it away, too. Right. But, yeah, so anyway, he...
Is this Peter Strauss? Not Peter Strauss. He was in Rich Man, Poor Man.
Peter Krause.
Yeah.
He totally bamboozles her.
Who's that?
Peter Strauss was one of the Jordache brothers from Rich Man, Poor Man.
He totally bamboozles her and steals her money and then they're chasing him, and the whole premise of the show then is going to be her chasing him and him being in love with her but still trying to not get killed by his bosses.
For years and years and years and years.
Oh, it could go on and on and on, but it's just so bad. I mean, it's there were so many things in there, like there's a scene where he walks past her when he's Mr. X.
Yeah.
And she just happens to turn... And he walks behind her back, but she does basically a 180 thing and doesn't see him at all.
That's realistic.
And then in that same walk that he takes, he gives a dog a treat and the dog runs over to him. And so it stretches his leash that his owner's holding, and the other private eye who's following him falls over the leash.
Oh, that.
And it's just like, if this guy's good enough to be a private eye at this big firm, he's going to be aware enough of his surroundings.
Absolutely.
He is not going to be tripped over. He's not going to trip over the leash of a dog. I mean, it was so bad.
You need to call Shonda Rhimes today and tell her you're not going to
stand
for
it. Well, she's not writing this. She's just producing it, but it's all her people.
But she now has reached the level, because she's had quite a series of hits over the last decade or so, to whatever she sends to a network, they're going to green light and go, yeah, it's Shonda Rhimes' name on it. She knows what she's doing.
Probably pretty much. This, I understand, took a lot of redoing for a while, which is why it's starting so late.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's the same thing it was before. They must have just tweaked. I know they tweaked some of the actors, but they must have changed some other stuff in it too.
Are you okay to take a call or two?
Yeah.
You're okay? Again, we can be reached at 312-981-7200. Answer quickly, Kurt. Answer even before the question
yes.
is asked.
Yes.
Hey, Laura.
Yeah.
Question for Kurt Wagner.
Hi, guys. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks, Laura.
I do, yes. I wanted to know when the Netflix series, the third season of The Fall, is coming back. I just watched season one and two, and I'm dying to watch the third one.
I don't even know that they filmed it yet, but sometime this year, I think.
So within this,
I don't know.
Laura,
for
set
sure.
your DVR for this year. Just record everything.
I'm sorry, I cannot help on that one.
Yeah, I can't find anything online about it either. So.
Oh, man. All right. Well, good luck. It's got to be out there somewhere.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Take care.
I have a question. I am hooked on The Family on ABC. I really think it is one of the best TV shows. It's almost done like a movie, it's so good and mysterious. And my son texted me something saying that it's not doing very well, but they will finish the season, right? It's just it may not be renewed.
Well, it may not be renewed, but
it's so good.
If they don't finish the season, they'll
Don't they have to?
No. I mean, Of Kings and Prophets just got canceled
after two episodes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But that wasn't a finite story, I don't think. Like this, it's a story that you can tell has a beginning, middle, and an end.
I mean, it depends. I guess it depends if they're done filming it. If it was just 13 episodes, they probably will finish it. They may not air it on television, but you could then see it.
I'll
on
go to
a,
somebody's
a streaming
house to watch it.
Show it at someone's house.
Yeah,
I love that.
All right, yeah, it's
but
really
Sunday
good.
Nights. I think it's on Sunday nights, right?
It is.
Yes,
that's a tough night.
Yep.
I don't even know anymore. Is it really a tough night? Everybody DVRs everything.
Well, there's limited DVR space.
Yeah, I know.
It's on opposite Ed Sullivan, so a lot of people are watching Ed Sullivan. Kurt, thank you. Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. Go to the website, TVShowPatrol.com. It's a good one. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Have a nice Easter. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks very much. I don't know if this is a surprise or not. I say that, and yet when I read this last night, I was surprised by it. Hugh Hefner, he is the founder, of course, of Playboy magazine, Wendy. And the guy, it even says here in the paper, I'm not making this up, he sparked a sexual revolution, Hugh Hefner did. He is now considering the prospect of selling Playboy magazine.
Hasn't his daughter been running it?
Christy Hefner.
Because I thought he was kind of out of that.
She was, I'm trying to remember what her title was, if she was CEO or something, but he was still considered to be... boy, what was his title? I read something about this. You know, a year ago, they made the announcement that Playboy magazine would no longer have naked women in there.
That's why he's selling it.
He's not interested anymore. He's
not going to read it.
He lost interest. Actually, when that happened, I don't know if I said to you, I told somebody this, probably just a stranger. I think I walked up to a stranger and I said, this is the beginning of the end because this is
Playboy saying. You said it on the air.
I did, right?
I don't think you're the only one that thought
No, probably everybody did.
But were you wearing bunny ears when you said it?
I always wear bunny ears.
And his tail is adorable.
Cut it out. That's nice of you. That was them kind of just grabbing and saying, and that's weird for considering it's Playboy magazine, but that was them just saying, we've got to try something because what got us to the dance isn't working anymore. That Playboy magazine became a phenomenon because simply they had naked women in there at a time when no other magazine was doing it, and then every other magazine was doing it, and then internet.
Well, Playboy was the very first, before Hustler, before We, before Hottie.
Is there a magazine called Hottie Magazine? I think they were the first ones to do it on a grand scale.
And they did it much more tastefully.
They did do it.
The other magazines.
To their credit, they did it much, much more tastefully. But one of the mistakes I always thought that Playboy magazine made was in the early days of Playboy, in the 50s and the 60s and into the 70s, they were featuring women that you could call the girl next door, right? And then they started doing this thing where all the women looked exactly the same and most of their body parts were made of plastic, and that whole girl next door thing just kind of went out the window. That was, for me, that's when it stopped being interesting. It's like, oh, they look like mannequins.
Okay, but first of all, you never had a next-door neighbor who looked like that, did you ever?
No. No, the next-door neighbor he had did not look like Playboy.
I mean, the girl next door, girl next door? Because no one had that girl next door.
Yeah, I guess that's just a phrase in theory, isn't it? I guess it is.
What astounds me is something I was reading this past weekend. It takes me a week to process it, so therefore I'm bringing it up today.
Mm-hmm.
That Shel Silverstein had so much to do with Playboy.
He did.
And here's why my kids never got into the Giving Tree, but my nieces and nephew, oh my God, almost every kid except mine, I guess, is it a guy who, have you read it?
Oh, I read it so long ago.
Good.
Is it good,
Where the
Kim?
Sidewalk Ends, those poems are great. My kids love
those. He's a great poet.
Oh, he's great.
Okay, but isn't that weird to you that he had such a connection? He used to write for Playboy.
Right.
I mean, isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the time frame here. Probably in the 70s, there were always pages in Playboy of the parties that they would have at Hef's mansion all the time. So Shel Silverstein was always there. Child author Shel Silverstein was always there.
And Gene Siskel, which blew my
mind. Gene Siskel was there sometimes. He met his wife there at a party at Playboy.
What was she doing there? Was she a Playboy bunny?
No, she was just there.
I love her.
They would just show up to parties. And then here's some foreshadowing. Bill Cosby was always there, and Robert Culp was always there.
I spy.
And I was never there because I was busy being 9 years old and they wouldn't let me in.
Although you tried. There'd be a knock at the door. They'd open the door and they'd look like adult height level. No one's here.
Right.
There'd be little Billy left down there.
So I'd bring a friend of mine and we'd wear a coat, an overcoat, and I'd be on his shoulders like in Little Rascals shows.
Did that ever
Hello,
work?
I'm an adult who was invited to your party. No,
May
that
I have
never
some
worked.
Coffee?
Right. Is Robert Culp here? He told me to meet him here. No, that never worked.
Shel Silverstein was a columnist and cartoonist for Playboy magazine for over 40 years after he joined the staff in 1956. So he did first.
He was on the staff.
That's bizarre
it is,
to me.
It is.
Again, I never read those books. Kim's very well aware of them. My nieces and nephew loved that Giving Tree. And I think the thing about that is there's a boy who... wants things from the tree,
right.
Like, you know, he wants a swing, then he wants a house. So at the, you know, not spoiler alert, there's a stump left and it's like, you've taken all from me. What can you do? I have nothing left to give. And then as this boy now turns into an old man, he sits on the stump.
Yep.
So once again, the tree delivers. So
circle of life.
Is that the circle of life? Is it that we're our man's... raping of the land to take away from nature? Is it, you know, you're giving in too easily?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many
I think meanings. It's more like the Cats in the Cradle song kind of
that's
thing.
What
like
I,
what evolves
I think so too.
Circle of life, like Bill said.
Don't
yeah.
you see it? That's the way I always perceived it anyway.
Yeah, but the tree got mad at him, from my understanding.
Right.
And then at the end, the tree was not mad anymore. Do trees get mad?
No.
I know the ones in the Wizard
Furious.
Of Oz.
Furious.
Not
right.
Wizard of Oz.
They've got a temper. Well,
H.
the
R.
ones
Puffin.
On H&R Puff, yeah, those guys got mad. And the ones in the forest in Wizard of Oz also got a little perturbed.
Oh, were they whipping apples? Or
they
was
were,
am I...
They were some angry, there were some angry trees.
Which one was Witchy Poo on?
That was H.R. Puff's
okay.
stuff.
I get confused here. Hi, Joe. Hey, Joe, how hot is your girl next door?
I don't think you can hear
we
us.
Really sound good, don't we?
Yes.
That's a great show you're listening to, Joe.
Joe? All right, we'll call
Hello?
Him back.
Hey.
Oh, there he is. Joe, hi.
That's a great show you're listening to.
Oh, it is. It's an awesome. What do you guys, did I dial the wrong number?
Who are you trying to call?
WGN.
This is who you've called. This is Wendy. That's Bill.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Wendy. How are you? I was just listening to the story, and I actually did the Devil and Billy Markham in a speech contest. When I was in college. That was the 25th anniversary.
That was Shel Silverstein as well, correct?
Yeah, that was Shel yeah. Silverstein. And I also read his children's books, which are awesome books. But The Devil and Billy Markham was just a piece of work. I've never seen anything like
What's
it.
What's that about? I've heard of it, but I don't remember reading that. What is that?
Well, it's basically it's a poem, and it's about it's called The Devil and Billy Markham. It starts out like this. The devil walked into Lindbaugh's on a rainy Nashville night while the lost souls sat and sipped their soup in the sickly yellow neon light. And it's about the devil going in, meeting this old blues guy,
yeah.
and then he ends up playing pool with God. And it's Shel Silverstein had a way of, the whole point of the entire thing was that there's good and evil in every person
yeah.
and in every and everything. And, but it was a very interesting story. When I was listening to you talk about him writing for Playboy, that's what came to my mind.
Well,
so,
he was really good.
Thank
he,
you.
He always had sometimes undertones, sometimes more blatant. There was always morality weaved in and out of his stories and his poems.
Which is...
Oh, absolutely.
But guys, that surprises me from 40 years working at Playboy. You wouldn't the two don't really come
well,
together.
Maybe that just showed
I,
his
I was,
versatility.
I was looking at the cartoons, Wendy, but I also got that for that piece.
Yep.
Because
right.
Shel Silverstein at that time was well known as far as, you know, I was in my late teens, early 20s. So,
the cartoon you yeah. were seeing is Little Annie Fanny was in there.
I know.
Oh, absolutely. Great cartoon.
Yeah.
Really fun.
And then all those cartoons with
that's my screen name.
Yeah, that's a good screen name.
All those cartoons with the old grandmother whose clothes used to
yes!
fall off all the time.
How come she couldn't keep her clothes on?
I don't know. She was buying the wrong size.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Well, you guys are welcome. My name is Greg. I'm listening to your show. I love it. Whenever I get a chance to, I listen to it. And keep it up.
All right. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Thank you, Greg. Right. Sorry we've been calling you Joe.
No, that's okay. I answer to anything, but Greg is best.
All right. We'll go with Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
It does say, in all fairness, it says Joe on the screen.
Let the record show, I'm fairly certain he told me Joe.
Why would he tell you Joe if his name was Greg?
I don't know.
The listeners.
He worked for Playboy.
Right, that's what it is.
Incognito.
You know who was also always at these Playboy get-togethers? And when I was a kid and I would look through the pages of Playboy, in my head, those get-togethers, that was like an every night thing. I envisioned Hugh Hefner and this throng of people just having crazy times.
I'm sure it was
24
every
hours
night.
A day, every day.
He lived at the Playboy Mansion, for God's sakes.
I know.
What do you think they're doing there? Doing crafts?
I don't know. All I know is, this is what, and again, this is 10-year-old me, 9 or 10-year-old me, which isn't that different from the version in front of you right now. But I saw naked women, I saw an unbelievable swimming pool and pinball machines, and I went, this guy, that's the best guy on the planet, is that Hugh Hefner. He's got naked women, an incredible swimming pool, and a bunch of pinball machines. What's wrong with that? That's perfect. So at the parties, you always saw, like I said, Robert Culp, Bill Cosby was always there. Elliot Gould would stop by more times than not. Shel Silverstein was there. And Leroy Neiman was always at these parties.
He did all the artwork.
Well, he was always, they'd show him sketching something, and then his mustache was always covering naked ladies. I'm like, Leroy, do me a favor. Could you just trim the mustache? I want to see the lady behind you. All right, we'll take a quick break. More show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I just want to say one more quick thing about Playboy magazine. I found out last night, but we were telling the story that Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy magazine, who, by the way, is 89 years old right now.
God love
him. I didn't realize he was that old, but he is. He's 89 years old.
He's looked that age for a while.
Yes, he doesn't look dramatically different from he did 5, 10, 15, or 20 years ago. Well, he wears a robe a lot. Did you notice that? Like a satiny robe.
What's the purpose in getting dressed if you live at the Playboy
Mansion?
Yeah,
I guess. Just wear a satiny robe. But wouldn't that be weird if I came in?
Yes, you.
Bill, again with the satiny robe? Well, this is 11 days in a row with the satiny robe.
It has to be burgundy, too. Isn't it typically burgundy?
Right, yes. So he is exploring the idea of selling Playboy magazine. He's had it for 63 years. Maybe it's time to try something else. The barbershop that I went to as a kid had a full stack of Playboy magazines, and it was not unusual for a customer, either while getting your haircut or while sitting waiting for a haircut, to just page through a Playboy magazine, and I don't know that that would fly today. Does that still happen? Do guys go into a barbershop and just freely look at Playboy magazines? I think now people...
If they're there.
Would that still be a thing? I don't know.
I look at Women's Day.
Yeah, but does that have naked people dancing around in
there? But I thought Playboys now don't have naked people.
Oh, yeah, that already started. That was last year was the end of naked ladies in
so
the Playboy.
So what's the difference between that and Maxim now?
Not much, probably.
I don't think
the
there
articles,
is.
Wendy, that's what it's always been.
Right.
I was at Walgreens last night with my 13-year-old son Dylan, and he picked up the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, and he goes... He just put it in my little basket. Mm-hmm. And I said, really? He goes, please, Mom. I said, no, because it was too much money.
Wait, that's still on the shelves? Because I thought that was a few months ago.
It's still out there.
It's still out there.
It was at Walgreens.
See, that's the thing about naked women. They never go out of style, really. You could look at Playboy magazines from 1963 and go, yeah, still working.
They were working better back then because it just was like, beauty.
More voluptuous.
Yeah, that's true.
And just originality. As Bill pointed out, throughout the years, they all started looking like cats.
They did, didn't they?
Kind of. Seriously, when you get too much plastic surgery, I'm not against plastic surgery. I will go get Botox tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got some lines that I don't want, but there's a limit to it. And I think when you go too much, God rest her soul, Joan Rivers pushed it so far where it didn't.
Right.
It enhanced her for a while, and then you get to that cat level.
Well, it's not just cat-like, and I'm not just singling out Playboy magazine, although that was the magazine I had most exposure to when I was a kid, but at some point, with all the reworkings of the body parts, it didn't, I mean, there was no more gravity. Like, that was out the window. It just, I don't, for a magazine that built itself on accessible women, just like the kind you know, these are women from your area that live near you and they work with you and stuff. And then all of a sudden it was just like, they all looked, every girl in Playboy looked the same at some point. And it was all plastic. It lost its appeal.
Well, there's just something to be said about natural beauty.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't know about that.
And in all honesty, the internet kind of killed it. Because why would you, I don't know how much Playboy was or is. Is it $7, $8? Why would you pay that if you've got the internet? And if that's your thing, you could find that on the internet easily.
Because when you're at the barber shop, maybe you don't have a Wi-Fi connection. Right. And just to answer your question, 773 says, yes, Irving Park Barbershop in Chicago.
They still have Playboys up, do they? All right.
I get my haircut there.
Oh,
not necessarily for that reason.
You sit there for a long time, too, don't you?
Sometimes.
Days in advance. Why, Kevin, your haircut isn't until Thursday. This is Monday.
I'll wait.
I'll be fine. Don't you worry about me. All right, a little bit about what's coming up on the second half of the show. We got very, very sad news yesterday that Gary Shandling had died, and that was quite a jolt to all of us. We're huge fans of Gary Shandling's. If you saw him perform, I'm sure you would be too. He was really an innovator and great at what he did. And we put out the call to a couple of different people to appear on the show. One of them, Ellen Zweibel, was the co-creator of the Gary Shandling Show. We've had Ellen on before.
This is the theme to Gary's show.
No, yeah, that's the theme song
for
the show. Ellen will be with us right after the break. You know, Steve will come in and do the Wintrust business lunch, and then Ellen will be in and talk about his days working with Gary Shandling. Kevin talked to him yesterday right after the news came out, and he, as would be expected, was very shaken up by the loss of his friend Gary Shandling. And then we also put out a word to Bob Odenkirk. Bob was on one of Gary Shandling's shows as well, the Larry Sanders show. Yeah, Stevie Starr.
And yes, and I love Bob Odenkirk. You and I have known him a long time.
Yeah.
He's second season of Better Call Saul started. There was a picture on TMZ of he and Kathy Griffin and Gary Shandling just last weekend. They had just gone out.
Yeah.
And so it was shocking news, and we wanted to talk to him, but we didn't get to talk to him, however.
He was not available, but issued this statement. His agent gave this to Kevin, and here it is. This is what Bob Odenkirk says about Gary Shandling. Gary was a guiding voice of comedy. He set the standard, and we're all still trying to meet it. He gave us all opportunities to learn how to do the best work of our lives, but more importantly, as I knew him these last few years, he was a person who never stopped trying to be a better person. That's yet another way that he inspired me, and I'm sure many others who knew him. It really, I mean, I never got to meet him. All I knew him from was enjoying his work on television, not just on his own television shows, but whenever he would host an award show or if he'd fill in for Johnny Carson or be a guest on a talk show. And I don't remember ever a time where, like in the credits, when they'd say at the beginning, tonight our guests are, and they'd say Gary Shandling's name, I would always, always go out of my way to make sure I watched him.
Me too.
And always was entertained by him.
And he wasn't like your typical average-looking guy. He had a unique look, and he just was really, really funny. I love the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah,
I love the Gary Shandling Show. It's Gary Shandling.
Both of those, I think, if you had to make a list of the, you know, the funniest shows that have ever been on television, you'd have to include one or both because, boy, were they good. Consistently good. So Ellen Zweibel will be with us in the second half, at the very beginning of the second half, at 1 o'clock, 105, to talk about Gary Shandling.
Yesterday we were talking to Dean Richards around this time, and we're like, what's going on? Because we had just heard the news. Who had just passed away? Ken Howard.
Ken Howard had died, and the singer from Tribe Called Quest had just died.
And so we're sitting, I mean, and people were like, oh, God, quit being so depressing. But, I mean, what's in the water? This is really happening, and not at old age.
Right.
These are all relatively young
people.
I know, that's not, that's 60s the new 30.
Yeah, that's
maybe
upset.
40.
Yeah. More realistically, right. All right. Kevin, by the way, went to a barber shop. I don't know why, but I just looked in the producer's booth. And there's a sign that says gone for a haircut. That's weird. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
This is the theme to Gary's show. The theme to Gary's show. Gary. he called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Gary's show?
Well, we all got a jolt of sad news yesterday as we found out that Gary Shandling had passed away. Really one of the most innovative and underrated comics, certainly of our generation and our era. Alan Zweibel joins us right now. Alan was the co-creator of Gary's first series, The Gary Shandling Show, and a fine, fine writer for Saturday Night Live and many other projects. Alan, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This was a jolt to all of us, but especially to somebody like you who worked with him and knew him so closely. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it?
Well, you know, the irony is I was in Los Angeles this past weekend, and we wanted to get together, and it just didn't work out. So the last thing we said to each other is, let's speak during the week and catch up. And I said, what day is good? And he said, I'm not doing anything Thursday night. So I said, Thursday night it is. And that was last night.
Oh.
And he died during the day yesterday.
We all do that. We all put things off, and we shouldn't, but we're going to continue to do it. It's just, it's life and it's death.
That's so, so true. It's, you have these second thoughts, and nobody ever thinks that this is the last time you're going to see someone or speak with him, you know? So it did cross my mind yesterday. Gee, would it have been so terrible if I would have gotten to that other thing 10 minutes later, just been over to say hi to Gary. Mm. And we don't live our lives that way. We just expect that people will be there when we want them to be there. And it's, what a shock. What a terrible, terrible shock to the comedy community.
Yeah.
You know, the people who, venerated him, looked up to him. He was so smart and so funny, and he had such a generous heart. You know, all of us who are, writers, I've been lucky enough to have a lot of terrific collaborators, but like Gilda Radner and Herb Sargent and Billy Crystal and Marty Short. But I would say Gary Shandling was the smartest collaborator I ever had. We created that show. It was just magical.
And looking at your Twitter account, today I lost a friend and comedy partner. Rest in peace, Gary Shandling. May God laugh the way you did all who knew and loved you. And everyone in the comedy world and writers alike are posting so many great thoughts about him. He really had an impact on so many people.
Well, once again, his legacy, aside from his body of work, and the persona that made us laugh, if you speak to Judd Apatow, speak to Sarah Silverman, speak to Conan, speak to Ed Solomon, who wrote Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, all of us, owe a huge debt of thanks to Gary. He made us all better writers. We listened to him. He led by example. And, I don't know how you feel this loss just yet,
Alan Zweibel is our guest. Alan was a collaborator, co-creator of the Gary Shandling Show. Alan, do us a favor. Take us back to those days when you guys came up with that concept. Was that a hard sell when you said we're going to do a sitcom? It wasn't?
Yes. No, I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question at first. I thought you were going to ask, is it a hard thing for us, concept for us to come up with?
No.
The sell was very hard. I had a manager named Bernie Brillstein, and he called me one day and said, do you know who Gary Shandling is? And I said, yeah, I've seen him on Letterman and whatever. He was doing a Showtime special at the time. They needed some fresh eyes, so I flew out. I met Gary, and we did this special together. But what we got to talking, and he had an idea for a TV show where he played himself, a comedian, mm-hmm. talking to camera. I had an idea for a sitcom where there was an actor who was a comedy writer, let's say like Dick Van Dyke,
mm-hmm.
right, was in that old show, and he had a wife and two kids, which is what I had at the time, and he spoke to camera. We married the two ideas together, and it became the Gary Shandling Show. But prior to my arrival, Gary pitched his show to NBC,
mm-hmm.
and they said, fine, but we don't want you playing a comedian. We'd like you to be a baby photographer.
Oh.
And we don't want you talking to camera. We want you talking to your dog.
Oh, that's a great hit.
We had a couple of meetings like that. So by the time I came around, and because of the success, I believe, of some of the Showtime specials that he did, he had we had a script deal. And if they liked the script, it automatically went to 6 episodes. So he and I wrote a script. They ordered the 6 episodes. We shot the first script that became our quote-unquote pilot. And before it even aired, right, Showtime bought, picked this up for the whole rest of the season.
Wow.
And about four or five shows, once it aired, right, Showtime gave us an order of 54 additional episodes, which kept us on the air for still 3 more years. So, you don't understand. Back then, cable had very, very little original programming.
Sure.
This was the late 80s.
Yeah.
So this was virgin territory for them. They were showing old movies, ping pong tournaments, stand-up specials, things like that. You know. So when we came along with this, and it was embraced by the critics, they ran with it to their credit, But Showtime wasn't even, a lot of places still didn't get it back then.
Yeah.
I'm from New York, and what I did was when I went to L.A. to do this show, you wouldn't believe the size of my FedEx bill to send tapes to my friends to show them that I was indeed working.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. There's a particular episode, Alan, that I want to ask you about, and we have spoken of this episode before because it really is a landmark episode, not just for Gary Shandling Show, but for television, and that was the episode where Gilda Radner came on, and it was right after we all, the rest of America, found out that Gilda was sick with cancer, and it was handled so beautifully. Can you talk a little bit about the behind the scenes of that episode?
Yeah. Well, Gilda was my buddy, and when I was with SNL, I created a lot of her characters. We were incredibly close. She is the godmother of my 3 children. And when I came out to L.A. to do its Gary Shandling show, the first year we were doing the show, Gilda called me up, and I found out, like everybody else did, that she had cancer. She loved that show. She loved its Gary Shandling show.
Yeah.
And we said, when you're ready, you'll come on. And the third year that we were on, I remember taking a walk with her on the beach. And I said, listen, I think it's time that you come on the show. And she was afraid. She said, I haven't been on TV in 7 years. I'm afraid that when I come through the door, nobody's going to recognize me. And just as I was about to tell her, don't be silly, she said, but you know something? I'm going to watch my language now, guys.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I have to come on your show. My jokes are the only protection, is the only weapon I have against this blanker, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It begins with an F.
Yeah.
And she said, Zweibel, can you help me make cancer funny? And so she came that week. We wrote a whole bunch of cancer jokes for her. She ended up writing most of them herself. And then we had a dress rehearsal, which we always did before we actually had the actual show. And there was a full audience. And she came through the door, and she did some of the cancer jokes. And the audience went wild.
Sure.
And when we did the actual show, the audience, she came on unannounced. Here was this girl who thought that she wouldn't be recognized. She, the audience just went nuts. And then when she did one of the cans, Gary said to her, Gilda, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? She said, I've had cancer. What's your excuse? he said, well, I've been stuck in this TV show and there's no cure for this. Okay. And the audience, a couple of hundred people in the studio audience, they gasped because there was a cancer joke.
Sure.
And then as if they all realized in the same millisecond, this is her and she's allowed to do it because she has it, they broke into this incredible applause and really appreciated it. And she was sick that week. She spent her time in the dressing room lying on a couch. She had digestive problems. But I have to tell you that when I went to edit the show, the angle that I wanted her to make her entrance in, that camera, for some reason, the picture was jumping a little bit, like a little bit up and down, a little bit up and down. And that was the angle I wanted, and I couldn't figure out why it was jumping like that. And then I remembered the night that we shot the show, and the cameraman who had that camera had been crying, and his hands were shaking. And if anybody ever should see that episode in the box set, or if it should ever come on syndication or something, look for it. It jumps just a little bit. I left it in there as a tribute to her.
Yep.
It was a very emotional nice. Week, as you can imagine.
Yep.
And I can only imagine how therapeutic that was for her, because I can't believe in a million years she would think no one would remember her. I mean, watching her on SNL, you know, that made me want to be a funny girl, because she was so great. And I imagine it was therapeutic. And to have that big round of applause at the tail end of her life must have meant a lot to her.
Well, you know what happened, Wendy, is after the show was over, she was rejuvenated. And they thought she was in remission. And I have them, the notes somewhere. Gary Gilda and I started working on creating a show for her. For HBO, Michael Fuchs was the president of HBO at the time, and we had his blessing, where she played the star of a variety show. And you saw the dynamics behind the scenes, like the writer's room and all the stuff at the show. You saw the show, and you also saw her at home. Okay, and I have those notes somewhere. Mm. And then as the months went on, she had a relapse, and she wasn't in remission. And ultimately, Gary took that same idea, because he had always had that kind of an idea. And because he was guest hosting The Tonight Show, and there was talk about him actually having his own talk show when the Fox Network was formed after we ended its Gary Shandling show, he took that idea, and he made Larry Sanders, which was one of the best shows ever.
Alan Zweibel is our guest, incredible writer for Saturday Night Live and so many other things, collaborator of Gary Shandling's. When you close your eyes, Alan, and you think about Gary, what's the moment you think about him in?
I think about, it's a good question. I think about him, how big his heart was. It's not a funny scene. I'm sure everyone will have, as will I, funny anecdotes and stories. But Gary, you can call him at any time, and if you needed anything, he would be there. And if you look at the legion of writers who look up to him and feel that they learned from him, that's what I think of. I think of Gary giving of himself, the generosity of his spirit, and also how uncomfortable he was in his body.
Yeah.
That's the funny part for me. Yep. You know, it was how uncomfortable he was, and he made fun of it. He acknowledged it. He joked about it. That's what made him so vulnerable, and I think that's what made everybody adore him. He was, strong enough to actually expose himself that way. Yep. You know, and we all, one way or another, hooked into that and say, gee, I'm a little nervous about that, too. Oh, that scares me as well, you know.
Mm. So beautifully said. Alan Zweibel is our guest. We're going to take a very fast break, and we'll come back and talk more with Alan about the life of Gary Shandling, who we lost yesterday. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Alan Zweibel joins us right now. Alan is a premier comedy writer, has been for decades. He was a collaborator of Gary Shandling's, who we lost yesterday, and we're talking about Gary. Alan, there's a joke in particular, and I know that anybody who knows anything about comedy talks about the importance of timing. And Gary did this joke, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he talks about being in a restaurant, and there's a woman at another table who is breastfeeding, and when the waitress asks him what he wants, he just says, I'll have what she's having, meaning the baby. His timing in that joke alone is as flawless as could possibly be. You know what I mean when I talk about his timing, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. What Gary was a master of is silence. You know, if you look at history tells us, and now I don't know if this is apocryphal or not, but legend has it that the longest laugh in the history of radio came out of silence. And that was when Jack Benny, who had created a character who was incredibly cheap, and this is on his radio program in front of an audience, he's walking down the street, a bad guy comes up to him, sticks a gun in his back, and says, your money or your life. And the longer that Jack Benny didn't respond, the louder and louder the audience laughed, because they knew that he was thinking it over, if he should give him his money or have his life taken.
Right.
And it just went on and on and on. Now, let's go to Gary. What Gary knew was the
the power of silence, the power of the pause. He was in no rush to get to a punchline. But he was also, and what he was able to do, like Jack Benny, he created a persona that even when he was silent, you knew what he was thinking, and that became funny. So, that's what made Gary so distinct, that he didn't feel any rush to get to the next funny line. And because we knew the character so well, he would make us laugh with nuance or with a glance. You know what I mean? Just like anybody that we know in our real lives.
Sure.
Whether it's an uncle or a friend, we say, oh, you had to hear him say it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine him saying it. Gary was that guy.
Yep.
And now Jerry Seinfeld just recently had Gary Shandling on his podcast, and that was fairly recently, wasn't it?
I think
you're
so, yeah.
You're talking about the web series.
Yes. Comedians in Cars or whatever that is.
Yes, and Coffee.
Coffee, yes.
Somebody told me that they shot in January. I don't know for sure, but it was fairly recent, yes.
And from what I haven't seen the episode yet, but he had brought up Robin Williams a little bit, talking to Jerry about Robin and about talking about his own eulogy. But this was completely unexpected. 66 years old. I remember yesterday, Alan, we were talking about the loss of Ken Howard. And Bill and I were kind of thinking, you know, what's happening? But we're getting older. But 66 is not getting older. It's not there yet.
It's amazing because I remember when our parents were our age, I don't remember so many of my parents' friends getting sick and dying.
Yeah.
That happened when you were in your 70s. You know, that would happen when it was 10 years from now. And you're absolutely right. If you just go from January 1st of this year, all of the people, the famous people, the show business people, the comedians, the actors, the musicians, you know, who have died, and everyone's around the same age when they're dying. You're absolutely right. It's like a minefield. Hmm. It's scary as all hell.
What hit real close to home, and Bill, you remember when I was when David Bowie had passed away, he was 69 years old. Again, that same too young age.
Sure.
And I said, I never thought I'd see the day where like David Bowie was the same age as my mom was when she died. And it's like my mom. It wasn't David Bowie. He was way cooler.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's we're finding out that the cool people could die, and it's shocking. You know, it's I personally, as I'm sure so many of Gary's friends, are still in shock. You know what I mean? Because it's only been 24 hours, and we're talking about it, talking to each other, talking to folks like yourselves, but it's going to sink in, just like the loss of any friend. We go, oh, I can't call them anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. You know, I can't show him this. I can't ask him what he thinks of this joke. And it's, I know that there will be a delayed as severe as the initial reaction is now, I know that there's going to be a delay where everybody, it just sort of sinks in and go, oh, my God.
And you mentioned Gilda Radner, who was very sick and did a lot of suffering. This is the exact opposite. It's easier for Gary to pass away suddenly like this, but harder for us because we weren't prepared.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, we get somebody like Gilda, who had cancer for years and was very public about it. What I was most proud of with Gilda was the way she handled herself when she was so sick, because she knew that she was famous and she felt that she could use that to the advantage of other people who were suffering from the same illness. She went on the cover of Life magazine. She would go to Laker games. She was out in public, even with a wig or even a bald head at times.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to be an example, an inspiration that you can still have a quality existence, even though you've got this horrible disease in your body. So when she died at the age of 43, it was a shock. It was a shame. And but there's always a little part of it. We all knew she was sick. And as much as we mourned, we were a little bit more prepared. Okay, as horrifying as it is when it happens, who expected? I spoke to Gary over the weekend. Okay, I'll speak to you Thursday. It was as casual as that.
Hmm.
And then he died on Thursday. You know, so it's like, whoa. You know, so these things can take these real hairpin turns.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that that's what really humbles us all. you know, and then we tend to get philosophical and even corny about it, but it's not corny. This whole thing could be over really fast.
Right.
The whole life thing.
So true. Alan, we know how difficult the last day or so have been for you. We greatly appreciate you talking about Gary Shandling and about Gilda Radner. And really, if there is any good in this, it's that you helped both of those people create an incredible legacy that will live on for generations. I mean, you can watch your work, and it's just as funny today as when you first created it all.
Well, that's real nice of you to say. I find a lot of comfort in that. So thank you, Bill. And, you know, I'm thrilled to have been on your show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Alan, so much.
We appreciate it.
Our thoughts are with you.
Thanks for having me.
That's Alan Zweibel, a fine, fine comedy writer and has been for decades, and a collaborator of Gary Shandling's and of Gilda Radner's. Wrote much, much of Gilda's work the first several seasons of Saturday Night Live and her one-woman show, and he's a good guy. All right, a quick break, some news, and then more show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
5, 4, 3, 2... From Hollywood, The Larry Sanders Show. Tonight, join Larry and his guests, John Lovett, Lyle Lovett, Steve Duchesne, and me, hey now, Hank Kingsley. And now, because we've tried it with just the desk, and it really isn't the same, Larry Sanders!
Bill and I were just talking about The Larry Sanders Show off the air, and It's Gary Shandling was a great show. And the Larry Sanders Show was a great show, and I said, I don't know which one I like better. Probably the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah, they were both good for a lot of different reasons. Larry Sanders, you probably, I just said to you, if you watched any three random episodes of those two shows back to back, you might take Larry Sanders because it was such a perfect parody of late night talk shows in every direction. The fact that he didn't necessarily get along with Hank Kingsley, his announcer.
Hey now.
Because that was very similar to what Johnny and Ed experienced in real life. Do you remember our run-in, by the way, with Jeffrey Tambor at another radio station?
Yes.
Do you remember what you did with him?
No. Oh, God. See, this is why I block things out.
Jeffrey Tambor played Hank Kingsley, the announcer, on the show, and he was in the green room because he was doing Danny Bonaducci's show, which was on before your show and mine. And you said, I got to go talk to him. And I said, all right, I'll go with you. And you went in, and then all you said to him, you just looked him straight in the eye, and you just did.
Hey now.
Hey now. And he just smiled and nodded and looked the other way, and that was my cue to get out of the green room. I had seen enough at that point. And then you left, and you go, all I did was say, hey now, and he wasn't interested anymore. And I go, you scared him. Because he probably heard that 1,000 times, and you said, I didn't know what to do. Once he wasn't interested in Hey Now, I didn't have anywhere to go.
So I walked out.
I left, and then you left.
Well, that was his catchphrase. I'm sorry.
No, I know it was.
Do you remember what he was in town for? Because he came through this station, too.
I think he had a bit part in a movie at that point.
But he was
pretty sure.
On the air, he was really exuberant and...
Yeah, but not off air.
I didn't encounter him off air. I don't know.
Well, you should have had me come by to do it.
But the thing, you know, you played that clip, which brought back the other thing, is he would, before he started to count, he would go to the microphone and he'd say, all right, we're coming out. We're having fun now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
This is fun.
Are you excited?
Applesauce.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
It really was.
The It's Gary Shandling Show, I think, required a little more buy-in.
Oh, sure.
For the audience. So that's why I think the Larry Sanders Show is easier to go to now.
Yeah. Do you remember there was an episode of The Larry Sanders Show? And for people who didn't see it, it was what we're saying. It was a parody of everything from The Tonight Show to Letterman. Every late-night talk show, there were elements kind of sprinkled in.
But the difference was we could see it when they went to commercials. You know,
right.
On The Tonight Show, you didn't know what happened.
Right.
We saw the behind-the-scenes, and it was fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, I said to you earlier, off the air, that this is the first time that we saw Jon Stewart.
Yeah, it was, because he filled in for Larry Sanders.
Right.
That's so true.
Yeah. There was an episode where Dana Carvey was on playing himself because guests would come on the show and they would play themselves. And then Dana, this was prior to him being a guest on The Larry Sanders Show, is entertaining the staff by doing an impression, a perfect impression of Gary Shandling / Larry Sanders.
Right.
And he just stands there and they've made him up to look like him. And he goes, do you like my hair? What do you think of my hair? Do I have nice hair? He just keeps saying that over and over and they love it. And then the whole episode is, and I think this is very telling of Hollywood people, how that just destroyed Gary / Larry inside to watch a guy just make fun of him yeah. that way. You know, it was such
totally
a great episode.
I totally remember that because the staff was eating it up.
Right, right.
If you can find that, we were talking about this off the air too. I don't know if it's available in DVD form or something.
Sure. Is it Netflix maybe? Is it?
It's got
to
be
somewhere.
I'm sure
it will now. I hate to say it, but I'm sure it will now.
But that and Fernwood Tonight, Norman Lear's
Loved
talk
that.
Show with Martin Mull, those are the two that really...
Fred Willard.
Yeah. It's perfectly... It makes fun of television talk shows as good as you could possibly do.
But Larry Sanders was much more current and contemporary for us.
Sure.
So, and it wasn't as quirky as Fernwood Tonight.
Right.
I thought it was more polished. It really was a great show. And I've brought this up several times today. And let me explain a little more. This, according to usmagazine.com, Gary Shandling... I have to be careful because we were talking about Bernie Sanders, and mm-hmm. I called him Larry Sanders last week because Larry David did him, and I'm just confused here.
Sure.
So Gary Shandling was on Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Right.
And he revealed a little something that he was suffering from, and there's a little clip here. If I can find
and
it.
And this is strange foreshadowing. We lost Gary Shandling yesterday, but he's on there with Jerry Seinfeld talking about, kind of about life and death.
Yes, here we go.
This is where Beatty lives, right?
Yeah. Now it's suddenly turned into a star tour. So it turns out I had a hyperparathyroid gland. That was undiagnosed because the symptoms mirror the exact same symptoms an older Jewish man would have, which is, you know, lethargic, you get puffy, you get heavy, you kind of feel like you want a divorce, you're not married.
So funny. And during the car conversation, the two comics discussed mortality, the shocking death of the late Robin Williams, and passing away in your 60s. Mm. Now, here's a quote. This is what Seinfeld said about Williams. Quote, you have to die in your 60s for them to say he was young.
Yeah.
And Williams was 63 when he died in 2014. And you might want to try and find that episode of Jerry's, what's it called again? I keep screwing
Comedians
it up.
In Cars Getting Coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's
a great
really funny.
Concept.
It is, and you can tell how much, you know, as I've told you, Jerry has all the money in the world right now. He can do whatever he wants, but you can tell this is an idea that just really appeals to him. He just gets to hang out with a comedy friend for a couple hours once a week. You can't go wrong.
How fun is that to not need the money and do that?
Right, right. Like if anyone else pitched that idea to a network, they go, yeah, I don't see that working. But it's Jerry Seinfeld. He's got a fairly decent track record when it comes to TV, so... They let him do it, and every episode I've ever seen is very telling and very funny.
And Jessica Seinfeld shared an Instagram later that day after the episode was taped or whatever, and here's what the caption is. It's a picture of them just cracking up, Jerry Seinfeld and Gary Shandling, and it says, we've been crying, laughing, crying through Jerry's last day with Gary all afternoon. There's no better tribute and no better reminder of what a beautiful, gentle, brilliant, sweet angel Gary Shandling was.
Yeah.
And then there's a link to Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And they were talking about something that said it's great that Gary Shandling is still alive. That was the title
oh, wow.
of it. So that's weird.
That is very weird.
Was he on Make Me Laugh as well?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Bobby
With
Van's
Bobby
Make
Van,
Me.
Bobby yep. Van, who you have to push your eyebrows together so you could look like Bobby Van. Make Me Laugh.
Right. Yeah, he was a semi-regular on Make Me Laugh. And for people who don't know that show, the concept was you'd sit in a chair for 60 seconds and three different comics would do whatever they possibly could, whatever they wanted, to make you laugh. And the longer you waited, the more prize money you'd accrue.
So, like, Gary Mule Deer.
Yep.
Vic oh,
Dunlop.
My God.
Gallagher was on that one a lot.
Bob Saget, a very young Bob Saget.
Yeah, but Gary Mule Deer, you are bringing us back,
Mike
little
Binder
friend.
Was on there.
I don't know who that is.
A director. He's made a bunch of films since then.
And we were talking about the Larry Sanders Show, and I'm sorry that someone else deserves a huge mention, too, Rip Torn. He
oh,
was so
man.
Funny.
Artie.
And Colin Quinn played his son. It's like, Cully, my boy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you can watch the Larry Sanders Show, it's out there somewhere, at least some of the episodes. Treat yourself and watch it in honor of Gary Shandling
yeah.
this weekend.
So true. All right, a quick break and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. I just saw you doing a complete about face. This was fun for me to watch. You told me something and then realized that what you told me was incorrect. Can I share this with the class? Is this all right? If you don't want me to, I won't.
I didn't say not for air, so technically it could.
You were telling me, and Steve, you tell me if you think this is unusual. I already know Steve's going to think this is unusual. I don't know why I even said that.
You don't even have to say any more.
I'll give you a yes, Bill.
Wendy prefaced this by saying that for reasons she doesn't understand, Gene Hackman and the Royal Tannenbaums gets her a little bit excited. And
I don't know what it is.
I can understand that, but then it gets weird.
And look up his picture, people. Google Gene Hackman
but
and
not
Royal
young
Tannenbaum.
Gene
in that movie.
In that movie, like not Gene
Bad
Hackman.
Bad leisure suit, long hair flapping all over the place. I find him to be very sexy in that movie.
All right.
I don't know what is wrong with me.
Right. See, I get turned on with him in Hoosiers.
Yeah, it'd be Hoosiers for me, yeah. Or maybe French Connection, too.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Mine is not.
No, it's really not understandable. Either.
Well, it gets worse.
All right. Here's where it gets more funner, as the kids like to say. When he confesses that. At Gene Hackman, boy, he was great looking in Royal Tannenbaums. And
no,
then,
I said he was sexy. There's a difference.
Sexy. And then you said that and Rip Torn's picture, his mugshot, when things went really bad for Rip Torn, and it all ties in because of Gary Shandling, because he was on Gary Shandling's show, you said there's something about the way he looked in that mugshot. And then
I called it up.
You brought it up on your computer, and what did you say?
I said, yeah, I'm going to take that one
back. Yeah, because that's not sexy at all. Not even a little bit.
I like crazy old men with wild hair, evidently.
I was going to say, it has to be a very defined category for Rip to do well in it.
Right. Very. That's what they call a narrow set. In math, that is called a very narrow set.
I don't, well, he, although it's a terrible picture and it was a terrible thing.
As mugshots go. Right.
Yeah.
He's had, Rip Torn is a great actor, but he's had some horrible things happen.
It's a drinking problem.
He has a drinking problem, and he's had some horrible things happen with the law as a result of it.
And so if you go to Smoking Gun, oh, God, I misspoke. He's very disheveled, but he still has that gleam in his eye like, what?
And that's the look you like?
It's the attitude that I like. And this is what I said was the saddest thing.
Why?
This was back in December 2006 from SmokingGun.com. Actor Rip Torn was arrested December 2006 in Westchester, New York, and charged with drunk driving. That in itself is very sad.
Terrible.
And depressing. But what makes me more sad is this is 2006 when he's arrested, and he's driving a 1995 Chevy Cavalier.
Oh, yeah, you would have thought maybe a better car would have come his way at some point.
At least more current.
Right, 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 right.
It's 11 years old.
Well,
he's Rip Torn.
Right.
He's Ripped Torn.
I guess he is.
But I wanted to know what he was doing now.
Well, he tried to, I think he robbed a bank
that
at some point.
That was in 2010.
Oh, okay.
That
old
was 4 years
that's
later.
Old news.
And that's really tragic, too, because he was found at 9:45 p.m. in Connecticut at this bank where he was a resident in the area.
Yeah.
And when police arrived, he had a gun and was drunk.
Oh, man.
So that's pretty
not
sad.
Good.
But then he bounced back with Men in Black, right?
Yeah. At least, well, he's been in, I think there's been three of those, right? He's been in all three of those.
I think so.
So he's got that.
He's the cousin of Sissy Spacek, according to IMDb. Did you know that?
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. I knew something Bill didn't know.
I had no idea he was Sissy Spacek.
But I'm noticing that IMDb has some misinformation as well lately. That
Sometimes.
Was the go-to Bible when IMDb stood for Internet Movie Data Bill.
Right.
But
right.
Since it changed, it's getting to be as bad as Wikipedia.
Who did I ask a week ago if they had directed some movie or an episode of a TV show, and they said, no, it's on IMDb, but I didn't do that.
Who were we talking to? It was a phone interview, because I remember that saying, wow, you usually could trust IMDb.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore.
I'm going to look at more old men mugshots during the commercial break, if you don't mind.
Not just the commercial break. Your whole spring break
Maybe.
Will be spent just looking at old guys.
They need the crazy hair and the swaggery look. I don't know, Bill, whatever.
You should be Bernie Sanders' campaign manager.
He needs a crazier look, and then I would be.
Right.
If he gets a little crazier,
then you're
in. I might be in his camp.
All right, I like it. We'll take a break. Steve will give you the news, and then we have more show for you. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. What's wrong?
wrapped around each other. That's what's wrong.
Well, there's a line coming up that we need for the next topic.
Didn't have time to queue it up.
Nope.
All right.
Busy. It's coming.
Make us suffer on a Friday.
It's coming up in a little bit.
Hey, happy hour's coming up.
Is there a better Bertie Higgins song than this one, than Key Largo?
Get the shuffleboard court ready.
Here it's coming. Falling in love, so just with you. Coming in about 4 minutes. Honey, I was your hero. And you were my leading lady. And you were my leading lady. All right, here it comes. Ready? We had it all. Just like Bogey and McCall. That's it. I know that a more professional show would have had that queued up to that line, but...
Hey, less professional shows would have had it queued up to that line.
Probably.
You just wanted to hear the whole song, didn't you? You told Kevin not to queue it up.
Beautiful song.
It is not.
It's a beautiful
Wait
song.
Wait for it.
The reason is the good people over at The Hollywood Reporter have put together what they say are the most influential lines, movie lines, of all time. And what I'd like to do is I'll run the lines past you, and we'll see if you, Wendy, or you, Steve, or you, little Kevin, can be the first one to tell me what movie these lines came from. There's no tricks involved. These are all lines from famous movies that you've heard of 1,000 times.
And you knew all these, didn't you? That's why you're reading them to
can
us.
Can I be honest with you? I went through the 100, and I think I missed 3.
I'll probably know 3.
But I
won't know any.
But I was a film major, so if I didn't know all of them, I'd feel bad. But you guys, you know, you enjoy films, but it's different.
We don't really. Kevin
don't
and I
like
were
them?
Just talking in the office.
No?
I like them. I just
I do
don't
too.
Ever watch
just
them.
Don't go.
Do you go to the movies very frequently? Do you go to the picture show?
I would say
man?
A year, probably like 3 or 4 times a year.
That's not enough.
That might be
I
more
go quarterly.
Than me.
You guys have to go more often.
Wow, okay.
You're
we have
get
other
these...
things to do.
Tell me who knows these lines. Ready? I'll start out with the, well, it goes
My
from 100
to 1.
My money's
on Bertrand.
My money's on you too, Steve, by the way.
I'm not a big line guy, but go ahead.
What movie is this from? Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Love Story?
Love Story, yeah.
That was a great movie. Allie McGraw, yeah, you weren't born yet.
Okay, I'm just going to disqualify myself.
Ryan O'Neill. Right.
She's not doing well, let's just say
Jenny
that.
Is sick. Jenny is sick, and Oliver falls
well,
in love with her.
Well, that line would be Forrest Gump.
No, not Jenny is sick.
Oh,
I'm just
okay.
describing the movie, Kevin.
He's good.
Describing the movie.
Kevin wins. We could stop now this and play more Key Largo.
This is a movie when we got our DVD player, our first DVD player. Love Story was one of the first DVDs that I bought. And Terry still doesn't let me live that down. She goes, are you going to watch Love Story again tonight? Are you going to just sit and watch Love Story?
You bought that?
Yep.
As a DVD?
Yep.
Remember when he gets up in bed with her in the hospital bed?
Yep.
It's really a beautiful movie. But
I love it.
Yeah, but that is the first one you bought?
No, it wasn't the first one I bought.
Yeah,
no.
It was. Come on.
Like the third one or something.
Yeah, you just played Bogey and Bacall.
All right, what movie is this
you
from?
You know, it's like, you
what?
Know, it just kills me because you'd think like a girl would say, oh my God, that was the most beautiful story ever, but you just wanted to show your wife that so you could cry in her arms.
That's part of it, but I don't know.
Cute.
I still remember the first time I saw it. Was in a drive-in, and I was a sloppering mess.
Wait, you went to drive-ins and watched the movies?
Well, I was like 8.
Oh, this is with your family?
I was young.
That's a great family film to take your kids to. Get the Chinese food, eat it out of the containers, and watch someone die.
Oh, come on. You make it sound so cheap.
And you ruined it.
Did you cry in your brother's pot sticker container?
No.
Did he cry?
Yes. I did.
Did Adam cry?
No, just me. I was the only one who was moved by the love affair between Oliver and Jenny. Everybody
else
was fine.
It was really
fine.
Touching.
Very sad.
No one will ever have
Michelle
that.
Michelle Legrand's theme is so sad. It's just sad.
Da, 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 da. Oh, wait, that's
the
Godfather.
Godfather.
All right, whatever.
Same
thing.
Na, 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 na.
Sung by Andy Williams?
I don't think in the movie he did. Did he? I don't think so. I think in the movie it was just the instrumental. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't remember words.
I don't think so. Oh, there's words to it. But
not when I was seeing
the movie.
Not in the
movie, I don't think. No. All right, tell me what movie this is from. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Braveheart.
Yep.
Oh, ooh, I
Kevin
that.
Got that
wow.
one. That was pretty good, Kev.
He's going to guess Braveheart with everyone.
Or Forrest Gump.
All right, so he's winning 1-0? Or wait, who
what?
Got the first
Bertrand
one?
Bertrand got the first one.
All right. Yep. Sorry.
You're only down by one. You're fine. See if you can get this one. They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Oh, that's Mr. Sidney Poitier.
Yes, Sidney Poitier in?
To Sir with Love.
Nope, not Street To Sir with Love. Nope, it's not.
A Raisin in the Sun.
They made it into a TV show.
Not Raisin in the Sun?
Not Raisin in the Sun.
Love American Style.
I can't think of the name
American
of it.
Style. They made it into a TV show with Carol O'Connor.
With who?
With Carol O'Connor.
All in the Family?
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's not All in the Family. Took my answer.
In the Heat of the Night.
In the Heat of the Night.
They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. All right. See if you, now this one everyone will know. When you realize that you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Wait, I find this so funny that he said everybody's going to get this.
None of
and
you
no
guys know this.
Sleepless in Seattle.
This. Oh, you're so close.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Really? This wow. Is the,
you're so close.
This is the Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan
yes,
movie.
Yes, yes.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
I get one.
It. You do
when
not
you
get it.
Yes,
I get a half a point then.
You guys each get an assist.
Wait.
That's ridiculous.
Excuse
you
me,
both
but
got an assist.
But they didn't say the name. Who
you
gets
get
the
you get the full point.
I said Seattle. It's Sally's. Take out the E.
No, it doesn't break down that way.
Triple tie, baby.
How about this one? If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it.
Taken.
Liam Neeson.
Taken is
Rocky.
Right.
Please do the actors.
What well, song? I mean, what movie?
It's Taken, one of the first Takens. His daughter
which puts me in the lead.
Gets kidnapped every couple of months, Liam Neeson's daughter. You got to get locks on the doors, Liam Neeson.
All right, do a good movie so Kevin won't get it.
You Complete Me.
Jerry Maguire. No.
No,
that's not a. That wasn't a. I was just telling Steve he completes me.
Oh,
thanks. I appreciate
you're welcome.
That.
Welcome. It is Jerry Maguire.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Jerry Maguire. Kevin
really?
Got that.
That one too.
God.
Kevin got that one.
We suck.
This is so easy.
I just whispered it.
Ready? My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
It's
Commander.
Mad Max.
No, it's
Maximus
Gladiator.
Decimus
Gladiator.
Oh,
Gladiator.
Yes,
I don't
he
think
is.
You guys will get this.
Steve got that?
And I'm not insulting you.
Did
I'm just
Steve
saying
get that?
Steve
yeah.
got that one.
All right. Sorry.
See if any of you get this.
Again, Herbie the Love Bug.
No, I haven't said it yet.
Oh.
if you're just joining us, it's... What was that? That was scary. All right. See if
Sorry.
You get this one. I drink your milkshake. This is a tough one. I got this
Pulp
one.
Pulp Fiction.
It's not Pulp Fiction. Mm. Nope. Mm-mm.
Good guess, though, right?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Not a good guess, Steve.
They
you
talk about...
It all
come
on.
They talk about a... What is it? A Royale with cheese.
The diner?
No, it's not diner.
No.
Pope of Greenwich.
I will tell you the actor who says it. Daniel Day-Lewis says it. And he says it very
Kings
intensely.
Of New York.
No, it's not.
Oh, Lincoln.
No, he does not say
it. Geronimo.
Abe Lincoln doesn't say I drink your milkshake.
Last of the Mohicans?
Toward the end of There Will Be Blood. Did you ever see There Will Be Blood?
No.
It's a crazy movie, and the scene is insane.
My Left Foot.
No, it's not. I already said it's I Drink Your Milkshake. All right. If you guys don't get this one, I'm embarrassed as a human being. Ready? Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
That was Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes. Wendy getting the point
on
that
one.
How come
you guys weren't even in there?
We're trying to give you one. Yeah.
You're
so pathetic.
Are not. Listen, if
right,
you're
Kevin?
Really.
Yes.
Then they lose. If they're really trying to... I don't need your stinking...
Well,
I don't
you,
think
well,
until I said apes.
Wendy, you started shouting when he said, get your hands, so I couldn't get a word in anyway.
I think
so.
You do need our charity, frankly. But go ahead. What's the
Kevin,
next
I bet you've... Have you ever seen the original Planet of the
Apes? I
don't
think I have.
Charles
I don't think I've seen
one?
Any
no?
of them.
None of these so far you've seen?
No, any of the Planet of the Apes.
This is one of the only three I did not get. This is a tough one.
Herbie the Love Bug?
You. It's not Herbie the Love Bug. You make me want to be a better man.
That is
Tootsie.
A Few Good Men.
No.
Tootsie.
Oh,
you guys
wait.
Won't get
no,
this one.
I do know because that
you won't
it's
get
Jack
one.
Nicholson who says
it.
It
is Jack Nicholson.
The Shining.
It is Jack Nicholson.
Prixie's Honor.
No, it's not Prixie's Honor.
I can't think of the
with
name
Helen
of
Hunt.
It.
It's
yes.
With
yes.
Helen. No, it's Terms of Endearment.
It's not.
Uh-uh.
Helen Hunt?
No, it is Helen Hunt. But it's
Twister.
No,
and Greg
it
Kinnear.
Is.
Helen Hunt, Greg Kinnear.
You make me. Yes, that's the movie.
As Good as It Gets.
As Good as It Gets.
I
didn't get that one.
The title of it.
I didn't get that one. This one's also hard. I got this one, but
are
by
you
a fluke.
Proud of
I'm
me
very
for
proud of
Nicholson?
You. Yeah, I am.
We told you.
As if.
I did not. As if.
Oh, God. Clueless.
Clueless. Kevin getting clueless.
That's got to be four for me now. We'll call it four and three quarters.
You
Wendy,
might
you're
going
to get this one by proxy. Chewie, we're home.
Star Wars.
Be more
Empire
specific.
Empire Strikes Back.
Nope.
A New Hope.
Return of the Jedi.
Nope.
Any of them.
Nope.
The one that just came out.
Sun. New Hope.
Nope. Force Awakens. The one that just was out.
Oh, that's what I said.
Time for that.
You didn't say that.
I said the one that just came out.
Oh, you guys are so competitive.
No.
We have to take a break. Can we come back and do
yeah,
this
we've
again?
Got more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the score so far? Can you say?
It's 3-3.
Kevin has four.
I think
Steve
he got five
has...
now after Star Wars.
You don't get that one.
Whoa, what are these rules?
What kind of crazy rule is it where I have to say the answer correctly? I'm not playing by those rules.
I think it's 4 for Kevin, 3 for Steve. I have 2.
I think you have 3. I'm pretty sure, don't
and
you?
And I'm tied with Bertrand. Right, 4-3-3. That's a happy
it's
day.
Close.
Losers.
All right, more of the most famous lines in movie history. Who knows them and who doesn't? It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy has had a fantastic idea. I'm going through Hollywood Reporter. They have put together what they consider to be the most memorable lines in movies of all time. Some of them you've heard of. Some of them you may not have. But, Wendy, you just said something. I don't know why we didn't think about this. Let's have somebody win a prize as a result of this. If you give us a call right now at 312-981-7200, you can pick which of the cast members, either Wendy or Steve or Kevin, that you want to go up against.
You can't pick Bill. He's you hosting. Pick,
yeah, I have the answers.
Because my pick would be you. To help
thank,
me.
Thank you. So you can pick who your opponent is, and let's also say you can pick who your lifeline is. If there's one you're stuck on,
can you be a lifeline? Everybody wants
no,
you.
I've got the answers in front of me. That wouldn't work. So 312-981-7200.
Which number, caller?
Caller 5.
All right, we'll get them on the board, and I am embarrassed, but I am not a movie buff.
Well, I think, though, with a lot of these, even if you're not a hardcore movie fan, there's so much a part of pop culture in most of these cases that you've probably heard these lines at some point, probably. Not in every case, but many cases.
Kevin is surprisingly doing very well, considering he hasn't even really seen any of these movies.
Right, right.
So it is more pop culture. Steve, what's your excuse?
I'm winning. You guys just aren't. I keep forgetting to turn my mic on.
Yep. That happens. That's all right.
All right. We have our contestant. Shall we meet her?
Yes, please.
Hi, Bonnie. I hope you know a lot about movies. Hi, Bonnie. Bonnie.
There
Hi,
you
Bonnie.
Are. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. You know, I'm sorry. My name isn't Bonnie, though.
Oh.
This is the second time today. What is your name?
Mary Lee.
Oh, I can hear that.
Mary?
I get that.
That's not even close to Bonnie.
Mary Lee.
How did that happen? Yeah.
Mary right. B.?
Barry Lee.
All right, Barry Lee.
Or Bonnie.
Or Bonnie, as you're sometimes referred to in weird circles. I don't understand it. Barry Lee, you decide which of the three people on the show, besides myself, because I've got the answers in front of me, you can either go up against Wendy, you can go up against Steve Bertrand, or Kevin, our producer, and then you also get to pick somebody who can help you out. Who do you want to go up against?
I think I'll go up against Wendy.
Yes, good choice because I right. probably don't know it.
It's you versus Wendy. Now, you will also get one lifeline throughout this. Do you want to choose either Steve or Kevin as your lifeline?
I'm going to go with Steve.
All right. Very good.
Sorry, Kevin.
Wow.
Kevin is not a. He's
she's
not
mad
happy.
At me for calling
not
her Bonnie, happy. I guess.
Well, all she. Right. Hey, you should feel good because she's going against me because she knows she can beat me.
That's
right,
true,
Barry Lee?
All right.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. We'll all do a rock trivia later tonight.
Oh, that'll be dangerous. All right. I'll give you the line. All you need to provide is the name of the movie. Buzz in, Barry Lee, if you know it. Or no, just shout out the answer.
Yeah.
I can tell the difference between your voice and Wendy's. That's easy. All right.
Okay.
Ready? Here goes. And it's the first to get 5, okay? Here goes. The line is, I'm walking here. What movie is that from?
Oh, boy.
The Outsiders.
It is not from The Outsiders. Barry Lee, you can steal and win on this one. I'm walking here.
No, I'm pulling up.
No idea?
Does the lifeline know?
Do you want to use Steve as your lifeline
no,
on this
I
one?
I just want to know if he knows
it. Steve?
I'm going to go with that's from The Circle of Life.
It is not from Circle
What's
of Life.
What's the movie I'm thinking of? Lion King.
Nope. Looks like she picked the wrong lifeline.
Yeah, it looks like. What would you have said, Kevin?
Midnight Cowboy.
There's no way you knew that. How did you know that?
I have Google.
Oh,
you're cheating.
Well,
all your points have been taken away, Kevin.
Dustin Hoffman said it in Midnight Cowboy. It was an ad lib, by the way, because they didn't tell.
That's a rough one to ad lib.
See, the problem is I thought you were doing your Pumbaa imitation.
Oh, no. That was Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman. All right. 0-0 is the score. Here goes. Next one. These go to 11.
That would be Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap is right, Wendy.
Ding, ding, ding.
You lead over Barry Lee, a.k.a. Bonnie, 1-0. Second, third one. Here goes. Ready? It was Beauty killed the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast?
It is not Beauty and the Beast. Although no. they use both those elements in the answer. It was Beauty Killed the Beast. It's at the very end of this movie. It's a classic movie from the 1930s. Nobody?
3 seconds, Bonnie. Very late.
Oh, correct answer.
What about, does she want to use
the
lifeline?
She already used her lifeline.
Oh, that's it. He can only be used once? Can't you recycle Bertrand?
For the purpose of this game, she
doesn't want
to
in this case.
King Kong. That's the very end of King Kong.
I should have known that.
All right. Let's see if either of you can get this. Ready? They're here.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist is correct.
I thought she was Porky Pig down there.
That's all Barry Lee.
All right. Wendy has two. Barry Lee still looking for that first point on board. Here goes.
Yeah.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all?
Cinderella.
It is not Cinderella.
Beauty and the Beast.
Barry Lee, it is not Beauty and the Beast, which is a common guess in this game, but never correct for some weird reason.
Bertrand, do you know? Kevin, do you
know? I know, yeah.
You do not.
I swear I do.
Yeah.
I'm not Googling this one either. Sleeping Beauty, right?
It is not Sleeping Beauty.
Oh. No, it's the one with Mrs. Brad Pitt in it.
That's the remake, but the original was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Same thing.
It is not.
So nobody got that one. Wendy's still leading 2-0. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
That would be Godfather.
I said it wrong.
I can't. Oh, no.
You almost swore.
Oh. Barry Lee, if Wendy swears during the game, you automatically win.
Oh, okay.
It is not the Godfather. It is not. Barry Lee, do you want to take a guess?
Taxi Driver.
It is not Taxi Driver. Wendy, do you want to amend
Scarface.
Your mistake?
Scarface.
No, it's not Scarface.
Goodfellas.
It's Godfather Part 3.
Oh, geez.
That's when Al Pacino is older and he wants to...
I know it was Al Pacino. Do I get credit for that?
He wants the Corleone family to go legit.
Yeah, I got my movies. I got my Pacinos mixed up. Damn it.
All right, what do we do now? We have to take a break, but we don't have a definitive winner. Can you stay on the line? Barry Lee, are you...
Sure.
Yeah? All right.
Sure, I'm good.
All right, we'll come back.
After the news?
Oh, should we call her back? I don't want you to wait that long.
Let's just give her a Lou Malnati's pizza.
All right, let's do that. We'll do that.
For playing along. And go see some movies, because you're worse than I am, Missy.
Well, these were hard. I thought the other ones were easier.
They got a little more difficult. They did. All right, Barry Lee, stay on the line, and Kevin will give you a nice prize.
Barry Lee picked up a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumalnatis.com. Let's give Bertrand one, too, for being a terrible lifeline.
Yep. All right, Steve, you got a pizza coming your way.
That's not funny, but I'll take it.
All right, good. We'll take a break. Some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Steve, can you stay for a while?
Sure.
Because we are doing the Hollywood movie quiz, and I am picking up steam here.
You're doing well. Please know you are doing well. You see that, right? You're getting more than I thought you would get.
Thanks for the faith.
You are. You,
partner.
Because you said at the very beginning you didn't expect to get many.
I really didn't.
You're doing all right. Mm. Here's how it works. Hollywood Reporter has put together some of the most famous lines in movie history. They picked the top 100 of all time. So we're going through them a little bit at random, not quite in order. But I'll give you the line. You supply me with the movie, and we've selected another listener to go up against either you or Steve or Kevin.
Hi, Carol. I hope that's really your name.
Yeah, that's my name.
All right. Are you ready? Who do you want to go up against? Kevin?
You know what? I'm taking Kevin. He can Google real quick.
Oh, man.
Wait, you have to go against him.
Oh, no, that I want to go against you, Wendy.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. I suck.
Really well
All right,
yeah,
great.
No, me too.
So Kevin is your... All right.
Good Kevin's choice. The lifeline.
Sorry, Steve, you can go.
Wendy's the opponent. That
Kidding.
Was fast. All right, so I'll just give you the line from the movie, Carol. Either you or Wendy, just yell out whatever the movie is. I might give a clue or two if some of these are difficult. Now, I'll say this about this next one. It's the last two words of a very, very famous movie, a land-breaking movie.
I already know it.
Here are the two words. Do you already know it?
Yep.
The words are, no.
Oh, okay.
The words are, nobody's perfect. This is a tough one, but it is the punchline at the end of a very, very famous comedy. Nobody?
Airplane?
It is not Airplane. Great guess, though, Carol. Very strong guess. 1959 movie directed by Billy Wilder. It starred Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon.
Oh, Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot.
That's one of my favorite movies.
That's the punchline at the end when he reveals that he's really a man.
Yeah.
And then
all right,
we hear the words, nobody's
perfect.
Still tie
score. You're not as good as you thought you were, Carol.
Who can get this one?
I don't think I'm good. Okay.
Wax on, wax off.
Karate Kid.
Yes, Karate Kid.
Yep.
Very good.
Wendy
is fast. That's the scouting report on Wendy. She's fast.
Yeah, I don't know a lot, but I'm fast.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right, who knows this one? Ready? I don't want to survive. I want to live. That's a tough one.
I don't want to survive.
This is a tough one. I'm surprised this made the top 100 of all time. It's a great movie, but I don't think this line is as well known.
One more time with the line.
I don't want to survive. I want to live. That's from 12 Years a Slave. Tough one.
I didn't see
very,
it.
Very, very tough one.
Oh.
This one, I think either of you can get this one, because this is part of the American collective. We all know this line. We all know this movie. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain. Absolutely right. Wendy, what do you have, two or three?
I have two. Carol, two? What's up with you?
Carol, you're not far behind.
I really suck.
Come on. Come on.
All right.
Here goes.
Okay.
My precious.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's from the...
Wizard of Oz.
It is not from Wizard of Oz. God.
No. This is from the...
You can do this.
Yeah,
my inner geek right now.
The what?
She said one of the Hobbit things. I can't accept one of the Hobbit things as an answer, but you're close.
I'm going to use my lifeline.
You want to use Kevin as your lifeline?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is correct.
Two to one.
Two to
Carol.
One. Here goes.
Yeah.
It's alive. It's alive.
Crap.
It is not. No, that's not it at all.
I did see that movie, though.
It's on Cinemax every 20 minutes.
It is, I know.
Carol, anything?
God, no. Can I use?
No, the lifeline's already been used. Kevin's already got his coat on.
I am going to slap myself when I hear this.
Well,
it's easy.
Oh, I know. Wait, God.
It's alive. It's alive. Correct answer, Frankenstein. Nobody got that one. Frankenstein. Two to one, Wendy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two to one, Wendy.
Yeah.
Here goes. Go ahead. Make my day.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood in what movie?
Dirty Harry.
Now, it's not Dirty Harry. He plays Dirty Harry in the movie, but it's one of the sequels to Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry 2.
It is. Well, technically, yes. I need the full title, though, Carol. I want to give it to you, but I can't on Dirty Harry 2.
Every Which Way But Loose.
It is not Every Which Way But Loose. No.
But great use of an orangutan.
Sudden impact.
Oh,
sudden impact. Still 2-1, Wendy.
Okay.
I mean, am I funny like a clown? Do I amuse you?
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is correct. 3-1, Wendy.
Joe Pesci. The great Joe Pesci.
The great Joe Pesci. All right, ready? After all, tomorrow is another day. I think this
is Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
There you go.
Now we're cooking with
now it's a game.
Fire like in Atlanta. 3-2, Wendy. Isn't that the last line, Carol, from Gone with the Wind? Tomorrow is another day? I think it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
3-2, Wendy. Here goes. Stella,
know,
Stella.
It's either one of two. I know it's Brando.
It is Marlon Brando.
So a Streetcar Named Desire.
It is a Streetcar Named Desire. Oh,
You can give it to Carol, and now it's a tie score.
3-3. That was a close one.
I meant the two of you tied, Wendy. But
yes. Yes. Hasta la vista, baby.
That is, I'm not going to say the name of the...
You're just making
noises.
You know
what it is.
You're
Terminator.
Schwarzenegger, and
yes.
I don't think it's Terminator.
It is not Terminator.
No, I don't think so. It's
one of the follow-up movies. Which one is it?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. Can you give me a little bit more?
Judgment Day.
Kevin, did you sneeze?
Yeah,
what
sorry.
Happened?
Your sneeze sounds just like Judgment Day.
It is Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Carol has gotten two wins by saying the movie I said two.
Right. I know that seems...
What Wendy says two.
All right, it's tied up 3-3.
No, she has 4-3.
All right, how about this one? Ready? Play it, Sham. Play as time goes by.
Oh,
Humphrey Bogart in...
It's Humphrey Bogart in what movie?
Casablanca.
Yeah.
Casablanca is
right. She wins 5-3.
Casablanca 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Wendy's almost grunting down there. I can hear her. She's like,
Carol, you won fair and square, sort of.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We got to look under the hood on this one, Wendy.
That sounds dirty.
It isn't.
On a Friday.
It's what referees do.
Carol, we will set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. You played hard for it. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Congrats, Carol.
Well done, Carol.
Well, I love you guys. I listen to you every time I'm in the car. You guys make me laugh, all of you.
That's so nice of you. Thank you. Have a great weekend, a great holiday.
Oh, Easter, that's right.
Yeah.
Are you coloring eggs?
Yes.
Right now?
I guess we speak, yeah. I got the Paz kit underneath the desk.
Did you ever try to eat those?
Yeah, those tablets?
They don't taste
very good.
They don't
taste so good. No, they don't. Okay, a quick break and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We only have a short time to go before we find out what Roe and Anna have in store for you next. We've been getting a lot of texts in the last 45 minutes or an hour about another notable death in the world of show business. Very, very sad news.
And this is someone texted us most recently, and I can't find it, of course.
No.
The person responsible for the Waltons has passed away.
Earl Hamner Jr.
That's it. The creator of the Waltons.
Yeah.
Earl Hamner Jr.
He's the guy. Yeah. Prolific writer, wrote about basically his own life, that family, the Walton family is the Hamner family, the Hamner Jr. family, and first in a movie.
Oh, really? That's like a...
Yeah, it's autobiographical.
That's a big word. I got auto out.
Originally, it was a made-for-TV movie called The Homecoming with Patricia Neal and Richard Thomas, and then that got such high ratings, they turned it into a series, and it was a popular series for, I think, 9 or 10 years.
It was really a great show, and we all watched it, but they were too nice to each other to be
very,
a typical family.
Very
pleasant. I mean, they had nothing. They had a very pretty woman for a mother. Michael Learned was gorgeous.
Right.
And I find Ralph Waite, Mr. Pa Walton, was kind of sexy.
Very rugged.
Again, the long hair, old man.
The old man, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I find attractive.
How about that? I think I'm almost positive also that there was narration at the beginning of every episode, beginning and end, I think, now that it comes to me, of the Waltons. And I'm
and
pretty
another
sure...
Another night goes to a close on Walton Mountain or something like that. And, of course, the last line would always be...
Good night, John Boy. Good night, Jim Bob. Good night, Mary Ellen. They would all say good night to each other.
They
that was an hour
nice.
Right there.
I know.
Some episodes were 2 hours because they just kept saying good night to each other. But I think he did that narration, didn't he?
That I don't know.
Winter was a difficult time on Walton Mountain. You'd hear that at the beginning.
It was really a good show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is Easter Sunday. We were talking about the Paz.
The Paz Easter egg coloring kits?
Yeah. They were just a little tablet that you'd put, and it didn't work well with just boiling water. You had to have the white vinegar.
There was always a vinegar element. But you brought something up, and I thought I was the only kid who did this. I don't know if you only did it once. I did this every Easter, is I would take one of the tablets, sure that the good people at Paz finally got it in their heads, make these flavored. So I would eat the green tablet or the blue tablet or the purple tablet, and they were not pleasant.
You did it every year?
Yeah.
I did it once and realized it was not a spree, so it had no tart flavor, and said, you know what? I'm never going to do that again.
There were two things I did every year, and as an adult, when I look back on them, I say... What was wrong with me? I would do that at Easter every year with the Paz Easter tablets. And at Christmas, we had a bunch of ornaments that looked like little Christmas presents, but they were ornaments. And every year I would unwrap one of them, sure that there had to be something inside.
Your poor mother.
Only to be disappointed on a yearly basis. Right. And I'd go, Mom, you're not going to... She'd go, you did the thing with the ornament again, didn't you? And I go, yeah, and it's styrofoam inside.
Bill.
Consistency. That was my calling card. That's how we knew it was the holidays in my house. I'd fall for one of those two traps every year.
Okay, you mentioned the Paz that, of course, I don't know if I'm going to... I think last year was the first year we didn't color Easter eggs.
Oh, have the boys grown out of it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've grown out of it. It's just too much of a mess.
A lot of work. And then...
And they're not even a deeply vivid colors anymore. Why do I remember being a kid? They were so... I know they're pastel, but now it's like just...
But didn't it depend on how much liquid you put in that particular cup? Because there were years where the color was just really vibrant, and then there were years ago, is that blue? It looks like you got a blue
egg. I know,
egg.
You can't quite tell.
Right.
But it reminds me of those things you used to get at your dentist, the little red tablets that you would chew, mm-hmm. and then you would brush really well, because if there was any plaque is the sticky stuff.
Right.
When it stays in your mouth longer, it turns to tartar, which mm-hmm. is the crunchy stuff.
And that's how they make tartar sauce. Did
you know
that?
That's disgusting. But you'd chew those red tablets, and any of the plaque on your, or tartar or whatever, whichever it was,
right.
it would be darker red, so you'd have to brush, yep. and you'd have to brush forever.
Right, to get rid of the red.
Because, yeah, it wouldn't come off, it wouldn't come off your tongue, but those at least had a flavor.
See, now that you equate those, I don't know why my mom didn't play a trick on us and just put those red tablets in with our Paws Easter egg coloring kits. Then we could see if there was plaque on our Easter eggs. Mom, these are the worst Easter eggs we've ever had. They've got plaque on them. This is awful.
Yeah, they don't do those red tablets anymore. Probably because red dye was in
yeah.
them.
Oh, yeah. It was nothing but red dye.
And we turned out okay. Knock on wood.
All right. We'll come back in just a little bit. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.